Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to border scenes to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
feel... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Do you hear that? Do you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
Hey brothers and sisters, it's Jared. I want to cover some of the events that transpired at Donald Trump's latest rally. It was canceled because of protesters and violence. This rally really highlights a deep sickness in our country and puts on display the under-the-surface violence of the deep division of our country. I believe that we are going to learn in America the hard way. United we stand and divided we fall. And this country will fall while it is divided. Now, I want you to know that this is all by design. There are social controllers who have a globalist agenda that do not want America to stand. They want America to be destroyed. But America cannot be destroyed from the outside. It's not going to be destroyed by an invading enemy or anything like that, because as we've seen in wars past, that is something that unites the American people and calls us together, a common enemy. But this is going to be done in secret and shadows. We are going to be destroyed from the inside out, and that is exactly what is happening. Divide and conquer is one of the rules of war. We are being divided by design over social issues like race, like abortion, gay marriage, feminism, religion, all over the place. You can see the division taking root, and people are turning to violence. That is what happened in Anaheim, California. That is what is going to happen here at this Donald Trump rally, and going to continue to happen. And then what comes in its place? Out of the chaos, they bring the order that they want. You'll see their police state taking form all around us, hurting the cattle, the masses of America. I pray that this event is a wake-up call to people on just how sick this country is. America is in its death throes. It is right on the brink of destruction. Our countrymen can't even civilly go to a presidential race rally. How do you think they would fare during economic collapse? There would be utter chaos, looting, ransacking, rape, murder, absolute lawlessness. And this is what we should expect, for God's word has told us beforehand that wicked men and seducers would wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, that there would be a waxing cold of the hearts of men. What you sow, you shall reap, and what this country is sowing is seeds of murder and violence and inciting death and promoting it through propaganda of Hollywood, the Purge movies that are coming out. What do you think that's doing to the minds of men in our culture? What do you think that's doing to the children of disobedience that are growing up sitting under this type of stuff? It is preparing them for the chaos that is going to come, and then there is going to rise out of that a new world order that will be a total totalitarian state controlled by the rulers of this world, and they will submit their authority to the beast, the Antichrist. As the children of God, we know the answer to these problems that we see in our society is not a political candidate. Do not invest your hope into any politician or any outsider who's not a politician but's now running. Don't invest your hope in them. They will always fall short. And in fact, they are a part of the problem. Even though they may say great things on the campaign trail, time and time again, they prove that that does not mean anything to them while they are in office. And though some candidates hold to principles, principles will not save our country. The blood of Jesus Christ will. In 2 Chronicles, where God is instructing King Solomon what to do if ever the nation is in peril, he says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." America is very proud. They have ejected God from the public square. They say that children can no longer pray in school and that we are no longer a Christian nation. They do not seek the face of the Lord, and they chase after the wicked ways that are condemned in God's word. We are heading headlong into destruction. As God's children, let us humble ourselves. Let us pray for this nation. Let us seek His face, and let us turn from every wicked thing that is not of the Lord. This country will do as it will, but for each of us, we must choose this day whom we will serve. And as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. This video is a warning. As in Babylon, the writing is on the wall. What should you be doing? Preparing yourself spiritually. Be founded on the rock. Be renewing your mind in the Word of God each and every day. If you are not reading God's Word every day, you are absolutely wrong. I don't care what cultural Christianity says, this thing where we flippantly handle the Word of God. Do you love His Word? Do you love His commands? Are you renewing your mind in them? One thing the Lord has pressed upon my heart is to memorize more scripture with my wife. There may be a time where I don't live this soft, comfortable American life with a Bible on hand at every moment. There are many brothers and sisters across this world who would give up their arm for a Bible. And yet American Christianity deals with God's Word as an afterthought. So I pray, brothers and sisters, that this video is an encouragement to you. God's Word is true. Everything that He has said is coming to pass right before our eyes. Let us be those wise people who invest in His kingdom, who invest our time in the things of God, that we will be those wise and faithful servants that our Lord says well done to on the day of His coming. God bless you all, and be well in the Lord.
What if you needed a license from the government to speak, to assemble, or to protest against the government? What if the government didn't like what you planned to say, and so it didn't give you the license? What if the right to keep and bear arms only applied to the government? What if posse comitatus, the federal law that prohibits our military from occupying our streets, were no longer in effect? What if the government considered the military an adequate dispenser of domestic law enforcement? What if cops looked and acted like troops and you couldn't distinguish the military from the police? What if you were not secure in your person, in your papers, and in your property?
supporters, to all of the people that said that my Trump was gonna lose.
Love you too, dog. Sorry I hadn't run up and slapped the bee's nest, so to speak. You're going to have to bear with me today. I got sort of a cold coming on or something. Crazy weather. So, how's that Donald Trump got anything to do with primitive technology? Was that a clickbait deal there? I just suckered you in so that I could, be a Trump fan and all that kind of stuff. No, primitive technology. So, there's these two guys out in the woods, and they do some amazing things. But before all that, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. And I've been joined by Barbara. Hi, Barbara.
Hey there. I hope you're not getting sick. That's not a good thing.
Well, I got to talk it out of me, and we'll get to that, too.
Yeah. Hey, everybody out there in People for People Land and the Rashes. This is Roundtable, and wherever you are, good to be here.
Cool. So there's these two guys that are out in the woods, and they take the natural resources out there, and they build a furnace, and then they build an axe, and then they use that axe to build a house, and they do all kinds of amazing things. And there's actually been like quite a lot of YouTube channels popping up here recently in my feed that I've been subscribing to, where these guys will go out there and they'll work really hard and dig quite literally by hand homes built into the earth. And it's amazing. Because when you're watching these folks work, it's mind-blowing to see how hard these folks work and how impressive the work is that they get accomplished. Now see, if two men out there in the woods can accomplish something that amazing, imagine what the world could accomplish. And so, when you go out there, if you go out there on the Shazizz Radio Super Chat, there's a link. Just go watch these guys make an axe. Just some simple process. They actually go out there, they dig up the rocks, they smash the rocks, they built the furnace, and they melt the material, and then they, and somebody says, I like you guys are, anyway. Can't say that.
He says he likes us because we are pissed off. We are. sometimes we do get that way for sure, Angel.
Yeah, we do. We get passionate, and we'll probably get passionate again. But anyway, my point is, if two guys out there in the woods can do what they do, and it was a pretty nice looking axe that they built. And then they actually built the chisel, and they built some huts out of material out there. But you'll listen to a lot of people these days talking about how we can't. They're always saying we can't. And that we can't, it's devastating because it holds us back. Here we are, we got super technology. We've got access to technology that's mind-blowing. And yet, what do? We get riled up whenever somebody plays a song about Trump. We get riled up when we listen to the news. And like the guy was saying before, you know, even if you're not a Christian, even if you're, got your own faith, your own spiritual journey that you're walking on, the things that you can do, they're mind-blowing. This world that we live in, if we feed the negativity in this world, then that's what we're going to get. Barbara Saw always talking about all the time how not to speak into existence. I'm just paraphrasing because she says it so much better than me. Not to speak into existence all these negative things. And it didn't really dawn on me until early this morning whenever I was sitting around thinking about what I want to talk about to begin with on the show. But then I heard her words. And then I heard the words of another individual from my own personal faith. I'm going to try to play this podcast because I can't hardly breathe. I got this cold in my nose. But even if you're not a Christian, please listen to these words because however these words came into existence, they agree with what Barbara's showing me. And I just want you to hear what this man says.
Hosea said, God's people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now notice he didn't say, because the devil's so great, he's so powerful, and he can just run over you roughshod, and you just can't do anything about it. That's the reason that God's people are destroyed. No, he didn't say that. He said, God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Failure to have knowledge and understanding, and because of that they're destroyed.
Jesus said, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You settle your destiny by the words you speak. Many, many of us as Christians are very careless and delinquent in the use of our tongues. People say, I'm dying to see you. Don't ever say that. Americans say, I was tickled to death. Don't say that. No, it's not a laughing matter. I can understand you can laugh. But never say anything about yourself that you wouldn't want Jesus to make happen. Don't underestimate yourself. Because God thinks you're precious. He invested the blood of Jesus in you. When you are, quote, humble and criticize yourself, what you're really doing is criticizing God's handiwork. Because the Bible says we are His workmanship. How dare you criticize the workmanship of God? Pride is a tremendous problem with Christians, but another problem that's just as great is underestimating us. Not for what we are, but for what God has made us.
Because sometimes we just learn some things growing up in life that just weren't true at all. And I know that you've probably heard this. I heard it when I was growing up in children's church somewhere. I don't know where it was, but I remember. They sang this little song. They sang, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. Words will kill you, especially if you don't know how to operate in the law of the Spirit of God or in spiritual law concerning the Word of God and your words. Now, your words will destroy you quicker than someone else's words. But yet, other people's words will work against you and cause you severe problems in life if you don't know how to combat that. You get people talking, well, you know, he's going to fail, he'll never make it. You watch and see, and you get 50 or 100 people talking against you like that, and you can't figure out where all the problems are coming from. You can't understand why all these things are happening, while all the things are going wrong. And if you don't know how to combat that, then you really got problems. So Paul puts it into perspective when he said the faith in God or his word comes by hearing God's word. And then, right on the other hand, if you carry that a little further, is that faith in the devil, faith in the enemy, faith in sickness, faith in disease, comes by hearing the words of the devil. Now you wouldn't think that Christians would speak the words of the devil, would you? Not knowingly they wouldn't, but God prophesied through his prophet Hosea, said God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they don't know this. See, you can't live in health and talk sickness and disease. It's an impossibility. Because what you talk is what you're going to believe. And what you believe is what you're going to talk. Because when it gets in your mouth, it'll get in your heart. When it gets in your heart, it'll get in your mouth. And it consumes you. Day in and day out, you think sickness, you talk sickness, you believe sickness, you are sick. And it started, it just about all started with words. Now, of course, you might have had some physical ailment when it started, but it'll worsen. Anything will when you talk about it. Your problems will multiply when you zero in on the problem and talk the problem. You know why? Because there's life in words. There's life in words or there's death in words. You can speak life and you can speak death. Out of the same mouth proceeds life and death, depending on what you speak.
God said to his Son, to the Holy Ghost, let us make a man, a woman, somebody just like us, and let us give him dominion and let them be masters of all of life. God's ideal for you is that you might master all of life. Master your marriage. Master your finances. Master your problems in life. You are a master. You're made in the image of Almighty God. But the thing God impresses on me is I want to make them men and women who can create with words. Now that's what Jesus talked about. Have the faith of God. For whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You see, Jesus is talking about the creatures created in the image of God who creates with words. All of your situation right now is a product of how you've been talking. You talk down, you'll go down. You talk defeat, you'll be defeated. You talk lack, you'll have lack. You talk depression, you'll have depression. But if you'll talk blessing and glory and victory, you'll have it. Creating the very thing you're talking about. When you say, Brother Osteen, I'm not going to lie about it. If I'm sick, I'm sick. If I'm weak, I'm weak. If I'm in debt, I'm in debt. I don't want you to lie about it. Just read what God's word says and agree with God. The Bible says, let the weak say,
right,
I'm strong. Let the weak say, he didn't say I'm not weak. Let the weak say, what shall the weak say? It didn't say, let the weak pray. It's all right to pray, but I'm telling you there's a time to say, not pray. You can wear your carpet out until you get carbuncles on your knees. And never get anything from God until you learn to use your mouth and agree with God.
James said the tongue is like the rudder on a ship. It's a very small part of the ship, but it determines exactly where the ship will go. And we determine the course of our lives by the way we use our tongues. You can say the right thing and make the words of your mouth agree with the word of God. Or you can say the wrong thing and cause your life to go off course. And you'll either come safely to harbor or end in shipwreck according to the use that you've made of your tongue.
So if you're ever going to be effective in your work of the gospel or for Jesus or in ministry or in business or anything else, there must be a discipline in your life in the words you speak. Because there's times that you just like to throw up your hands and just say all kinds of things, make all kinds of bad confessions. But that's not the time to do it. That's the time to gird up the loins of your mind with the Word of God and begin to proclaim what God said. You see, that's where you find that most people add to their failure, add to their problem, is they get down on themselves and begin to talk against themselves. Now the devil knows what Mark 11:23 said, knows what Jesus said in Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, to the problem, to the situation, to the financial situation, to the physical situation, to the social situation, to the family situation, to the marriage situation, whosoever shall say to it, be removed, be cast into the sea, depart, be gone, to the problem area, see, that's what he's referring to, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have. He shall have. Doesn't have it then, the completeness of it, but he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Wow.
This is important that we understand that God's word, when it was spoken, was powerful. It still hadn't lost any of its power. That word is still as powerful as it was. I remember something the Spirit of God said to me years ago. I was praying in the Spirit, and he said, my word has not lost its power. And he said, my word is not void of power. But he said, my people are void of speech. In other words, when the Word of God promises healing or help, he said, the word is not limited in its power to bring that. He says, my people are limited in their speech. They speak as the world speaks. Doubt and unbelief, and they speak the words of the enemy instead of proclaiming what I say. He said, even as there is creative power in my word that comes forth as you speak it to cause the manifestation of that promise in your life, he said, even so is there evil power present in the words of the enemy to afflict and oppress everyone that speaks that. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. He said, if you speak the words the enemy speaks, then there's power in the enemy's word to afflict and oppress you. That's where he gets his power. He gets it out of your mouth. See, the devil knows that God said that you can have what you say if you believe and doubt not in your heart. He knows he can't stop Mark 11:23 from working because it's a fact, it's a law. So what he has to do is to convince you to use it in reverse.
Wow. You know, when I first heard that early this morning, as those words were being spoken, I was hearing Barbara's voice at the same exact time.
I was talking.
Yeah. I mean, it parallels everything you were talking about. All the times whenever you would recognize it, everybody in the Knights of Round Table was feeling like, you know, we were beaten and discouraged, and you said, no, oh, no, no, don't, you're not. And I feel like, seriously, I feel like I've been reborn this morning. It's just, I know this sounds crazy, Barbara. I know it does to some people.
It's okay to be crazy. It's okay to be crazy. It's okay. It's okay.
But I listened to those words, and I was hearing everything that you were saying. Talking about how our words, and I've been saying it, I've said it myself so many times, your words are so much more powerful than you can possibly imagine. These two dudes,
yeah.
two guys out there in the middle of the jungle with no technology whatsoever were able to take the earth around them and create tools and a home and all that. And here we are, we're sitting in the year 2019 with amazing technology. We have unbelievable technology. And we spend most of our time in negativity talking about, you know, the reality TV show that is Trump, or that is the news, or that is the governmental system. And instead of us taking those words and using those words to say, I am strong, some of us get to the point where we feel defeated. Myself, mostly, I wouldn't say necessarily mostly, but everybody feels that way at once at one point in time. But even though I know the answers in my head, I'm having to fight through some sort of darkness in order to try to use those tools that were available to me all along. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been saying for a couple of years now, sometimes I feel like I'm a preacher. I don't mean to be a preacher. I mean, I'm just saying what Spirit's given to me. And, you know, no way am I one of those fanatical preachers that's standing on that whatever soapbox. But, you know, it's because you believe. There's some part of you that are listening to, like that man would say, that preacher would say, you're listening to the devil, okay? You're believing the devil. You know, I mean, if you want to do some preaching here, it's like he's saying, basically, and I like what he said, and I went through this too, you know, about not believing in myself. If you don't believe in yourself, guess what? You're not believing in Creator's creation. So this is a piece you have to remember. If you start doubting yourself, and if you start pushing out hate and divisiveness again, you're not believing in Creator's creation either. You know? So if you basically believe that we are made in the image of God, you know, I mean, some of us believe that, then you better start cleaning up your act, because your words are powerful as God's are. Right? You are speaking words that have a power that can either do harm or uplift others or create peace and healing. Yeah. And this is how powerful we are. So all this is this whole thing about, criticizing the Great Spirit's work. A lot of people spend a lot of time criticizing a Great Spirit's work instead of stepping over on the other side and being grateful and loving Creator's work. That means people. All people are created by an omniscience, okay, a frequency, a divine frequency of love and unconditional love and joy. That, to me, that's what creation is. Well, that includes us. And you know, again, I'm going to hit on this one. Metakuyeo Yasin means we are all related people, all of us related. You cannot exclude a few people or one person because you just don't like what they're doing. You know, that means you are a judge. You are judging others. That is not for me to judge others, because that's up to, I guess, them and their Creator or Great Spirit. Who am I to judge others? What do I know what they're participating in here in this life is about? Meaning their relationship with their Creator, or what they're doing here, what they agreed to do here. I will not judge others, you know. I mean, I get frustrated. You know, yeah, and I could see things that people are doing that just blow my mind.
We become our own worst enemy, literally. You know, we talk ourselves down to oblivion, and especially when things are going awry. We'll talk about to ourselves, our brains are telling us how worthless we are, and how, you know, we're no good for nothing, and we're all failures, and that gets to a point.
Well, and we're doomed. Yeah. Aside from that, it's like this one that really gets me. We're doomed. It's doom and gloom, and we're going to wherever we're going. But, you know, Angel just said something really beautiful. He says, to have the image of God and deny the power thereof. Exactly. I mean, either you're standing in the light or you're shifting over into the dark, and you're believing in the dark, which is, of course, I'm gonna say it like I believe it. It's evil. We see evil happening. We see evil deeds and acts and stuff going on. And if that gets you angry and frustrated and start pointing fingers at those people and judging those people, whomever, where are you in the light? You're not in the light. you're in that frequency, basically, and you don't believe in Creator. You don't believe in the power of Great Spirit. And you're so not believing in the power of your words, you're just throwing out a bunch of words that have a power and are doing damage or whatnot. It's your free will, your choice, right?
Yeah, it's mind-blowing. And that, we always talking about how the elite or the upper echelon that's actually trying to put all these agendas through in this world, they do everything to keep us divided. They do everything to keep us down to the extent where we keep each other down. You know, it doesn't matter whether you like Trump or any of the other ones out there. All that you're seeing on TV is a show. It's a show. They're all going to go in the same direction. Evil is what evil is, and it's going to continue to do what it does. But where we got to realize is that we're a whole lot better than that, and we're a whole lot more powerful than that. If we ever realize who and what we really are and where we came from, the words that come out of our mouth, I used to tell everybody, look, your words can lift somebody up to the highest reaches of heaven, or your words could drag them down to the lowest, greatest, darkest abyss. And I, even though I said those words, it didn't dawn on me until this morning when I was listening to you talk at the same time while I'm listening to this guy say these words about how powerful the things that come out of your mouth are. Your words, man. You know, in Genesis it talks about how we were created in God's image, so that quite literally makes us creators.
Well, so, we are co-creators. I've always said this, I teach this, that we are co-creators. We were given that gift, that power, and it is a power. Now, you want to determine how you are participating in this creation, because it is in your hands. And that's why I keep saying, you know, when you start getting down and you start feeling hopeless and you start feeling angry or frustrated or whatever, you know, you're losing your connection. You're losing the sight of that you are creating that mess. You know, I've had people say, oh, we're doomed, you know, and that just shocks me energetically, because we're talking energy and frequency here. Yeah. And this is the power of word. The power of word is a frequency. It is an energy. Now, if the Great Spirit Creator, or if you want to say God, spoke a word, okay, it was a power. That power could heal.
Yep.
That power could, you know, I guess you want to go as far as to say part the waters and or whatever. I mean, this is the amazing thing about humans. We are extraordinary beings. We've been given extraordinary powers and gifts, and we don't know it. We just don't get it.
I gotta learn for myself tolerance and patience for others, because my tolerance for, you know, what I say, stupidity about how we got all these answers and yet we can't seem to get our act together, that's me not thinking straight, because...
Well, you're letting the devil get to you.
I'm going to say it like that.
Letting the devil grab onto you and come speaking out of your mouth. You know, I had my teacher, Wallace Black Elk, always said, if you hear something harmful or negative in one ear, let it go out the other ear. Don't let it go out of your mouth. Right?
Yeah, that's the whole deal. I'm finding myself getting frustrated at this world because... I just explained how these two guys out in the middle of the jungle were able to do something extremely amazing. And I see with us, with all the tools and technology and resources that are available, we should be able to solve everything. We should be able to solve it right now, right?
Well, we can solve it right now, Shaziz. And the thing is here's what's been happening to us. Let's get clear. Why is it that what you're pointing out, that we should be able to do this, we should, yes, absolutely. So why haven't we been? Why are we stuck in this mire, in this mud, okay? Because we've been trained to be stuck. We've been trained to doubt. We've been trained to be in fear. We've been trained believing that we are hopeless. It's hopeless and we're helpless.
Yep.
This is the programming, folks, and it's not the truth. It's not real, and this is why we're talking about this. We can create and manifest anything. You know, it's the belief, it's the connectedness to the divine and to that power that we were given. So if you're in the doom and gloom mode, and if you're in the negative mode, and you're in the fear mode, guess what? What goes around comes around. How many times have I said that? You know, the old people, our relatives, our maybe our grandma or grandpa said that, or somebody's grandma and grandpa said, hey, you know, what goes around comes around. You know, guess what? They had a lot of life experience, so they spoke wise words. You know, we have to heed these words because that is so true. Because why is it true that what goes round comes round? Because you have a power. What you put out basically has a powerful frequency. So if it is a negative, that negative is going to go out and knock people about. It's going to affect your children. It's going to even affect the Mother Earth and all of life, all of creation, because that's how connected we are. That's how powerful we are with that frequency, that energy. And of course, you have the opposite. If you are a loving, compassionate, kind person, and that's what you're putting out, that's going to come back to you, as does the negative. You know, you get slammed. You don't even know. People, listen, I've seen people who are negative have things happen in their life, and all they do is, why is this happening to me? Why? What the heck? What's going on? Why is that happening to me? Why did this happen to me? Why did I fall off that cliff? Why did I get a flat tire? Why am I sick? Why am I ill? Why, you know, I mean, well, hello, check it out. Why is a good question. How come that's happening? It's your perspective. It is what you choose, basically, to align yourself with creates your reality. That's how you are a co-creator.
I feel like King Arthur, when he pulled the stone out of the sword.
No, the sword out of the stone.
He
could have done that.
Sorted out of the stone, and now this thing is just lit up, and I'm like, wow, you know. And you know, I only use the word sword as a, you know, basically to explain what it is I'm trying to. Sometimes I get so much stuff running through my mind so rapidly, and I'm trying to convey it out, and I don't pick the right terminology to say it, but that tongue that the guy is talking about, you know, is a small part. That rudder on the boat is a small part, but it guides that big old ship wherever it's going.
Well, yeah, we are the captain of our own ship.
And so right? Now I know how to use it, you know. It just, thank you, Barbara.
Yeah, well, you don't let somebody run your ship. You don't let somebody be, you know, in control of your own ship, where you're going, what you're doing, what you're thinking, how you're speaking. You know, this is part of that ploy, that agenda to control people, is to put words in your mouth. And you may, you know, you may be a really good person. I know good people. I know good people that sometimes just knock me down with the things they say, and it's just like, wow, you know. I like this piece, you know, knowledge. So he spoke about lack of knowledge is the problem. Well, you know, knowledge is not wisdom, okay? Knowledge is good. Okay, knowledge can be powerful. We have to know things, but we must use wisdom, okay, to be in life. We must draw upon wisdom. Okay, wisdom is about balance. Wisdom is harmony and balance. It is discernment. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but you may not have any wisdom at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, oh wow. I tell you what, I'm just really excited today. I'm beside myself.
Well, are you a doppelganger? You got a doppelganger?
I think so. I think there's a second me in here right now.
There's two of you.
Because, by the way, I don't know if you heard that squeak in the middle of that podcast, but I snuck out of the room and I went and got me some natural honey out of the other room, and I'm able to talk better. So, we were given these nifty little creatures. As long as you respect them, they won't sting you, but they will put out some medicine for you and themselves, food for themselves.
Yeah,
it's mind blowing, folks. You can't deny that if you go out there and you really pay attention to what our Creator has provided for us, you can't deny it. I mean, everything that we need is right here. It has been all along. The only thing that we had to figure out was that we were supposed to be out here helping each other out and using using those gifts that we've been given, the power of our word, the power of our actions.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say, okay, so Angel says, Angel says intuition is a hard thing to develop. Okay, you either have it or you don't find it. You know, I feel that we were all born with this gift of intuition. We have five senses, and now we have more than five senses, and this is what we have to realize, that we are more than we think we are. We are more than we've been told we are. I feel we all have come here with these many beautiful gifts, and intuition is one of them. And I do know, of course, you know, women are more tuned into their intuition, as we know the terms, yes, women's intuition. And actually, women have been made fun of about their intuition. Well, that's a part of the agenda. Let's make fun of the truth.
Let me tell you something related, related along that line that just happened to me the other day. My wife and I and my daughter went out and we got us some new cell phones. And so we were setting up all these cell phones because none of us know how to use any of them. And so, anyway, my daughter had made it back home, and she calls my wife up and asked her what the Wi-Fi password was. And I couldn't remember it on my head. I couldn't remember this Wi-Fi password. And so, in my mind, as I'm telling my wife how to explain to my daughter where the book is that has all the passwords in it, I saw the writing in the book from while I'm driving my car. I saw the writing in the book for Wi-Fi password, and I saw the password, and I read it out to my wife, who then in turn texted it to my daughter.
Yep.
And it was right.
Yep.
It was right. I saw it from my car.
Well, I have had those experiences. You know, I am teaching my 5-year-old grandson how to recall information that he says, oh, I don't remember, right, or I forgot, or I don't know. Because I tell him, okay, your brain is a computer. I say it's in one of the little places there in that computer, a little door. There's a little pocket in there that has this information. Go to it and see what it says. And he sits there and he looks up like he's looking up, and then suddenly he'll say, oh, yes. And then he'll come out with the answer. Now, he does have an incredible memory, this boy, but I'm teaching him how to draw out things that are placed in our computer, our mind. Everything is there. Everything is there. You have to search for it. It's an interesting process. It's one of the things that I help people to learn how to use this intuitive guidance to receive the answer, because everything has already been created in the universe. Think of that. Okay, we are not creating new things. Everything has already been created. We have to tap in to the creation of what we are seeking, you see?
Yeah.
You understand? You understand how that works?
Yeah.
It's like you, as a mad scientist, for instance, and other people who are, let's say, healers or people who do hands-on healing, okay, you're the conduit for the universe, for the universe of what has already been created. So when you sit there as a creative person, you open yourself, you open the doorway with your intention. Okay, you're sitting there and you're posing the question to the universe. Okay, you don't know you're posing the question to the universe. You think you're just thinking. But in fact, what you are doing when you have an intention to solve a problem, or when you have an intention to put hands on somebody and bring a healing to that person, that is a powerful intention. That intention is speaking to the universe, and the universe responds in kind to what your intention is. If it's clear, you see,
yeah.
this is how intuition works, and this is how healing works as a conduit. This is how creativity works. This is how, you know, you as a scientist work. You're opening the doorway. You're aligning with the source in the universe that has all the answers. Everything is already created. Okay, so you have to remove that stuff. You have to remove the obstacles. Your intention is to seek the truth, and that intention of seeking the truth is a powerful message to the universe that responds to you in kind and gives you the information, gives you the tools. This is extraordinary.
But if you start out
by saying, well, this is a problem I don't think I can solve, there you go. You just close the door to the universe's wisdom.
That explains why it works, because I know in my heart, it's possible. I know it will work.
Just like as a healer, I know miracles. I know prayer is a miracle. I know I've seen it. I've experienced it. And that's, people have that ability. What we believe, our intention is so powerful. It creates miracles. And this is where we are today. And by the way, Patty wants to come in. So here's where we are today with the big issues, the big obstacles, seemingly horrific obstacles, folks. There are no obstacles, okay, that can get in our way if we have a belief in a shift and a change. And that is our intention, to seek what will bring this healing change, what will bring the shift. How to help people, how to help the world, okay? It is ever present, okay? So if you have a doubt in peace, you guess what? You're never going to experience peace. If you have a doubt, if a doctor gave you the death, you know, basically they claim, well, you're going to die in 6 months, okay? There you go. People die on the mark 6 months from then. What is that? What on earth is going on?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of research, at least in my general vicinity, people that talk about the power of prayer, and there are actual hospitals that are, you know, recommending, you know, prayer, that if families want to come in to pray, or if even staff want to pray, that they're actually allowing them to do that, because the part that is the
now
patient.
They are.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, there was a time when that was like, you know, taboo, science and a belief, you know, merging. You know, I'm kind of like, I guess, a heretic of the modern day science community, because here I have spiritual faith, but, you know, I'm
but you lose it every once in a while. You step over into the dark and you're listening to the devil.
Yeah, and then I get all discouraged, and then you say something like,
when you do that, I want to slap you. Slap you inside of the head.
Well,
I just
it's really cool, though, that when I was listening to those words, the same words that you were telling me on one of the shows when I was so far down in the dumps, that brought me back around. We had an awesome show that day, by the way. But I was listening to you speak. I mean, I heard your words. The same time I'm listening to this man's words and what he was saying about the power of words. So, you know, that's a sealer for me. I'm sold. I'm going to work my...
Well, listen, you're not the only one. I'm going to admit it, okay? And I'm not the only one. You're not the only one. And I have dropped down into that little shady area, okay, of doubt and wanting to give up. And you know, my sister Patty would lift me up, or the same thing, you know. But that's what we're here for. And I go, oh yeah, wait, I lost my way. I use those words. I lost my way. Wait a second. I was believing in what that dark entity energy was telling me, that, yeah, you might as well just give up. Yeah, nobody's listening to you. Yeah, why are you bothering? Now, who's speaking? That is not Creator. That is not Great Spirit speaking to me. I'll tell you right now.
Well,
just saying.
I'll tell you what. The other day, I came in my lab in here, right where I'm at right now, and I fired up my computer that I normally do for my radio show, and somehow or another, the date on my computer got changed to 9999, and the computer was freaking out. It was trying to figure out what's going on.
Artificial intelligence was freaking out.
And so I'm sitting here I'm getting all frustrated and flustered trying to figure out what the heck is going on, what's happening with my computer. Normally, if the battery in your motherboard goes bad that keeps the clock memory, it resets it back to factory setting, whatever age that computer is. But this went ahead in time to 9,999, and the computer's just freaking out. I don't know how it happened. We did have a freakish storm come through here that night, so I maybe attributed it to that. Maybe it sped up the clock somehow or another. But it was the only one of all the four computers that I'm running right now that did that. But it was so simple. All I had to do is go in there and change the doggone date back to the proper time, and everything was resolved. All that yelling that I did and all the frustration was unnecessary.
And yes, it is unnecessary. Well, there you go. That, you know what? That's perfect. That is so perfect for where the world is today. It's all that yelling, all that spitting and tearing of hair and gnashing of teeth, crying and gnashing of teeth, as was the title of Patty and my show a couple weeks ago. Yeah. It's not worth it. It's serving no purpose. So, right, sis?
You got a microphone.
Yes, that's right. And you know, me talking about computers is me and my computer, we have this relationship that's kind of like adversarial to begin with, you know. In fact, on a daily basis, me and my computer have to have discussions, and it likes to trick me. And there are times that I'll lose it too. You know, I used to have this picture of this duck with a sledgehammer and it's and a keyboard in front of it that said hit any key, you know, and that was my relationship with most of my computers. And I was just thinking while you were talking about that, maybe it's my intent toward my computer that every
funny.
Day it's going to tell me, okay, Patty, let's go here.
Here's the challenge.
Have you learned your lesson?
It reminds me of pictures I saw a while back, that pictures of people smashing their computers or throwing their computers out the window, and I could identify with that.
Well, I just threw a phrase in there. If you go on eBay and you type in extra-PC, it'll come up with, they're anywhere from $39 on up, depending on how fast of one you get. But it's a little flash drive that has an entire operating system on there. I just bought one today, but you can plug this into any broken PC and start this thing up, and you will have a computer. So it's basically a computer in your pocket for turning old junky computers into really fast new computers.
Well, with Barb, you know, like yesterday, I showed her my my browser as it opened up, and it put all kind of different links on it than what I normally have. It switches it for me. So I have to shut my browser. I sent her the picture of it because I wanted her to see. It does it all the time. And it fixes it itself. I mean, you know, I have a tech guy, Matt, who lives here, and I call him on a daily basis, and he'll come in here, and he'll get on my computer, and he'll just shake his head and give up and walk away. And I'll say, did you fix it? He said, no, it's your computer. I can't tell you what's wrong with it. It just does its own thing, and then it'll fix itself. It's like a little test.
Well, if you can get a hold of one of these,
have you learned yet?
If you can get a hold of one of these right here, these are little flash drives that you plug in your USB port, and you'll always have a computer. It's amazing. I got a little flash drive that has, you know, a little version of Linux on it that you can put into old junky computers, and it will install an entire operating system on that old junky computer and revive it. One of the ones that I use for chat is actually sitting right there in front of me, and it's running that program right now. Pretty cool stuff.
Well, one day I'm going to have a real computer, a big person's computer. Not today. But you know, I am grateful, and I wanted to bring that up. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in our lives that can bring a lot of angst, but the one important thing to me is that I am grateful, and I constantly Mark, he's been going through, I know a lot of people know that Mark has been through a lot of rough areas this past year and a half, 2 years with his stroke, and he is struggling, and it takes extra care, and I tell him all the time, you know, because he gets anxiety really easy, and I tell him, you know, babe, it's okay. You know, Creator's always provided for us. We've always had what we need. There's nothing that we have that we need that we don't have. We need to be grateful. We are grateful. And in that in itself, it reinforces to me when things go wrong and I look at it and I said, I am grateful for the things that are right. I am grateful for the things that are good, and it works it out for me. It brings it to an even keel. I'm not going to deny that there are things happening out there that shouldn't be happening, but it's more important to me to acknowledge the things that are right and good that are happening. You know, and it does affect.
Yeah. You know, I want to say I've not that I'm above anybody, but I just want to say that I have learned to be grateful for even the rough stuff that happens. You know, because I found out in my life here, reaching 76 years old, that, and I said, you've heard me say this before, you guys, that everything that happened in my life, the rough stuff, the awful, the challenging, the unbelievable whatevers, too, has brought me here in this moment in time. It's all part of, I guess I'd say, all part of the journey, you know, of life and the challenges that we meet, as well as the good stuff, you know, are very important. They're very significant. And I've certainly learned a lot about myself. And that one piece that I talked about is doubting myself. You know, we started out talking about, you know, Creator's work. You know, you're criticizing Great Spirit's work. If you loathe yourself or you're down on others or you're hating of others, you're actually criticizing the Great Spirit's work. And I went through a long period of doubting myself, you know. And, well, you know, I could point to things in my life, early life, that brought that all about. But, you know, you have to pull yourself up. We call it pull your big girl panties up. Is you have to stand strong and stop blaming others. You know, you have to take responsibility for either you're going to learn something from your experiences and move and grow, or you're not. You know, so I'm just grateful for every day. I mean, I'm grateful for just the beauty all around me. I see the beauty all around me, and I know you guys do as well. I just wanted to take it a little further with saying, you know, some of those challenges, some of those rough things have been one of the most powerful experiences in my life and teaching me a lot. But I was willing to look for what I call the gift in every experience, no matter how rotten the experience is. There's a gift there. I do believe it, and I think we have to find it. That's part of the challenge of living and moving and growing.
They call that on my side of the fence the Valley of Blessings, which kind of sounds like it's, you know, oxymoron. Those times whenever things are really going bad are the times that give us the tools to handle things when they get completely worse. And you don't think about that whenever it's happening. I mean, this is a terrible time. Well, why would you call it the Valley of Blessings? Because I have learned and gained tools and knowledge that I can not only help myself to never repeat it, but I can also help others and guide them through, you know, those troubled times together. So, to me, you know, it makes perfect sense what you're saying.
Yeah. I think, you know, I keep saying, I mean, maybe this is just my perspective. I don't know. What do you guys think? I feel like we're in a big school here, you know.
I think we are, too. I think that's what the whole deal is. I think we're here to learn. I think we're really here to learn. And and not just learn, but to enjoy and to love and live and experience. That's what's so amazing about this whole deal. You know, we got this free will. We got a choice. We can either create the world that is the most awful world and have drama and trials and tribulations, or we can actually use the power that we were given to quite literally co-create everything that we want to make this world so amazing. And up until this morning, I had something, a little bug of doubt in the back of my head. But as I'm listening to the words coming out of your mouth and the words coming out of that mouth, that man's mouth simultaneously, and how they actually blended in seamlessly. What you was telling me on the days that I was frustrated, and Patty's done the same doggone thing too. When you folks uplifted my spirit that day, the power of your words uplifted my spirit from some abyss that I had drugged myself down into and allowed the darkness to push me down. And I believed it. I believed that I was frustrated, and I believed that it was not possible. We couldn't do this because we couldn't get nobody to listen. There wasn't enough people listening, or it wasn't happening fast enough. And so I didn't have the patience or the tolerance to understand what was really going on in this spiritual battle. I didn't realize that, my portion of it, me being frustrated, trying to shout out to the world saying, hey, we got the answers, we got the answers, we got the solutions, we can fix this, we can fix this. And nobody was rushing in fast enough to do that. But what I didn't understand was the moment those words came out of my mouth, that we can fix this, had I to believe truly in my heart, we already fixed it. It just this moment I spoke those words, because that's what my Creator told me. The moment I spoke those words, if I believed them, it was done.
Yeah, I believe that. That's why I say the universe has created everything already. We just have to align with it.
Well, I'm right there with you. I'm excited about today. I tell you what, I keep thinking, there's no way we can top last week's show. No way. And then every time. I got a message this morning. Somebody put a message out for me this morning. I wasn't even really looking for the way that it all played out. But first I saw the man making an axe out of stones that he turned into metal with clay and everything, and then I got the message where the man sitting there saying the things that you were saying simultaneously, and it dawned on me, wow, we already fixed this. Now we just got to keep that forward momentum and our faith as strong as we possibly can, because we're going to go through some crazy times, I'm sure. But if we got that armor on, we're going to be victorious on the other side. When we get to the other side, we're going to be successful. And I think we're going to make our Creator smile, honestly.
Well, I kind of think that, we're all in a position today, being asked to choose, again, either the good stuff or the dark stuff. And listen, it's like the dark stuff is going to be ramping up because, as we know, we're in that timeline of change and shift and into the new paradigm and transitioning as human beings into enlightenment and growing and developing ourselves. If we're here in a big school, well, what are we learning? Are we going to graduate? What is it that you're learning? What am I learning, And and ultimately, what is the purpose and what does it all mean? So, I'm just saying, I always feel this is an awesome time. I mean, I just can't help but say that. I know you guys agree with me.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Even though we see the rough stuff going on here and the wackadoodling and I don't know. I'm not going to verge into that. I'm not going to glom on to the big negatives because I guess there's something different inside of me. I don't know what that is, but I just tend more towards, that I have a positive perspective. Now, again, it's not that I don't get down. It's not that I don't fall in that dark place at times. And I'm thankful that I have my sister Patty. And it's funny that we're never in the down place at the same time, are we, sis? I'm just saying.
Well, if you are, I'll come rushing in and pick you both up. So, I got your back. That's what the
you.
Knights of the Round Table does. We got your back.
Well, I got your message.
It kind of works that way, yeah. You know, it always has. And it's been that way with a lot of people, you know. They're talking in the chat here. Last night, Angel, he was in the chat, and he was talking, he was doing what we call a rant, you know, and he was going on and on and on. And at the end of it, I didn't mean that in a bad way, I know, because I go on and on and on all the time. But at the end of it, you know, he put in there that he likes the PFP site because he can come in here and he can have his rant and nobody's jumping on him, you know, and tell him get out, you know, or anything like this. We have to realize that we're not always going to be on the right side of good, you know, that sometimes things are going to happen in our lives and we're going to be affected by it. That is because we're living in this reality, and we're emotional beings, you know, and we do react when our heart is hurt, when our minds are hurt. We do react. This is not bad. What makes it bad is when we have nobody there to say it's okay, it's all right, you know. And I think that is key, that we need to realize that not only do we have these times of down, these times of doubt, these times of frustration, but everybody else does. And if we can accept that it's just a thing, you know, it's just this little thing, don't give it your whole attention. Just put it out there, get it out, and then move on, you know.
I like what Angel says. He says, I try not to offend those saying that I tend to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. I like that.
I do too. And I love the fact that we can come here and we can give our opinions and we can vent or rant, whatever you want to call it, and we can give our perspectives without, you know, walking away saying, well, I'm not going to talk to them anymore because I disagree with them.
Exactly. You know? That's the most concerning thing to me, to be, you know, and I get it. I get the levels of frustrations people have, and I as well. And the thing that I think is the most challenging but very important is to stick with it. You know, don't delete. Don't just disappear. You know, it's like I mean, it may seem easier just to disappear, but I'll tell you, it's more productive to not disappear. You know, to hang
and
in
it's
there,
more
right?
important that. Yeah, and it's more important that you know, there's times when something is said and we're taken aback. Oh, wait a minute here. You know, to realize that, hey, you don't have to own it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to take it home with you. You can look at it and you can say, hey, okay, I see where you're coming from, but I don't want to step over there, you know.
Go ahead. All right, I was going to say I like the conversation in the chat this morning, you know, because yeah, Angeline said that. He says, you know, I tend to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable, and then James says I jump on him and with a big smile, and Angeline said, never noticed, man, lot of laugh, and that I think is really cool, you know, how we engage with each other in a good way, and like the elders have said, don't take anything personally, especially these days coming. You know, because there's going to be a lot of people meeting the biggest challenges in our lives, and a lot of people are being spun around and expressing themselves not only directly but in confusing ways and questioning and so we have all the gamut here of running us right now. You know.
Well, yeah, this is the time we're in, isn't it? I mean, if you want to find angst today, you don't have to look very far. But the trick is to not stay there, to not immerse yourself in it. It's there. It does exist. I can't say it doesn't. But what I can say is I'm not going to take it home with me. I might catch myself in the moment and express that I'm feeling. But in that expression, that I get it out, if I don't come up against someone who is adversarial, who's going to tell me, you know, that go away, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
I'll tell you.
Then I walk away and I feel better for it because I got it out. I, you know, and I'm the kind of person that I really do. I can't. I have a. I know it's going to sound terrible, but I have diarrhea of the mouth.
That sounds pretty bad, sis.
It is, because
you have
once
to find
I
find another phrase, because that kind of sends me off in this visual thing.
Well, to me, that's what that visual is. What I do, I listen to myself sometimes, and I'm constantly telling myself, "Okay, shut up. Okay, that's enough. Okay, be quiet." You know, but my mouth is not listening.
Who's speaking? Who is that speaking in the background? Calm down.
I'll tell you a funny
but
story.
People are forgiving, and I love you for it.
I'll tell you a funny story. One of you two on one of our shows was saying something about, you know, when something negative happens, to throw something positive out there or something to that effect. And my wife has this habit of moving furniture around. And so
I could see that right now.
Yeah, she's trying to get her funky sway going on or whatever, you know. Anyway, so I go walking through the house, and I slam my toe right in the side of the coffee table, and I almost started throwing out a bunch of bleeps, and instead I go, "Thank you, Jesus," right? And I tell you what, I started laughing so hard, I forgot about my toe.
Hey, the other day I fell off a cliff and nearly killed myself. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Well, that's we got to laugh. You have to have a sense of humor, I'll tell you.
Yeah. But it defused the situation. The pain went away, and I was like, you know, hey, it's. I laughed probably about an hour after that. And I told my wife about it. She laughed, and I said, "You got to stop moving furniture, lady. You're trying to kill me." So
yeah.
Anyway, I just had to share that with you because I'm sitting back here thinking about the conversations that we've had on this show. Been so amazing. I mean, I feel truly blessed. I feel we're all truly blessed. These folks that come in this chat room are awesome, awesome people. Over People for People Radio and here on Shaziz Radio. The things that we have accomplished and the long term, we've outlasted a lot of networks. Did you realize that?
We have
outlasted a whole lot of networks. We've been around for a long time.
Yeah. Well, that says something. They must be doing something right.
Yeah, that's a plus in my book. I mean, it started off as an idea to bring people to the table, and here we are many, many years later, and we're still as consistent as we was back then.
Well, there was a lot of glue on those chairs, I discovered.
Yeah, couldn't. Once you're in that seat,
you can't get out.
You can carry the seat around with you, but it's yours. Yeah, that's it. We glued the people in the chat room, too. Awesome, folks. I just want to tell everybody I love you. That's just so cool.
I'm looking at the bigger picture, you know, and in the world, the big picture of the world. And you know, there's a lot of pockets. I call it the great web of life, or the sacred web of life, and how we're all connected, you know, through these frequencies, these energies, you know. And so I guess you'd say this is our journey on the great web of life. And I see on the web there's a lot of places where there's a lot of spinning, and maybe some little dark points and some maybe light points and happy points and uplifted points and confused points. And, you know, there's a lot of spinning going on. There's a lot of you know, struggling and challenges and angst and gnashing and crying and gnashing of teeth, as well as joy and happiness and helping and, you know, people reaching out. I mean, there's like, this is like a myriad of expressions and experiences and things going on the great web of life. And I just feel that it's all good, you know. Yeah, there's some dark points over there on the parts of the web too, but on the other side over there, really close, there's a great light, you know, a powerful light shining. And so I'm just looking at this. This is the school. This is the life we are experiencing and participating in, you know. And you don't have to spend too long over there in that corner of the web that it's dark, you know, or brooding or whatever. Yeah, you can go there and you can explore that experience and maybe get hung up there for a while. But, you know, again, we have that free will. This is a school, a great school, an amazing school. And we're all here as, you know, students, like we're kids in school, you know, experiencing every part of life. And to me, you know, that's kind of awesome. You know, that's why I look at the big picture. I don't just get caught in this tunnel vision like everything's doom or everything's dark or everything's hopeless. Because I don't believe that, because I see other things too, you know. And I only have my own life experiences to draw upon, that there were times when I didn't want to be here, you know. I mean, I was ready. The plastic was on the windows. The plastic was on the door. The oven door was open. I was getting ready to lie down and do it all. And the phone rang, you know. The phone rang. Well, you know, when our phone rings, you can't not pick that phone up. You just can't. There's something inside of us, right? It's like, who's calling? Oh, my God, who's calling? I'm going to miss something. What is it? Who is it? So, well, sure enough, I answered the phone. Perfect timing, you know. I don't even remember now who phoned me, but it was like that moment where sort of like an alarm went off in the great cosmic realm where, wait, there's somebody over there that's getting ready to do themselves in. And no, it's not, no, I'm sorry, you have to stay here. There's more for you to do. There's more on the web for you to participate in. There's a way over there on the other side of the web. There's a meetup. It's called Patty Walking Turtle.
Yep. Speaking of Patty, I got a job for her. She's the perfect one for this. There's a picture that I posted over there, People for People, also posted here in the Skype chat. Want to read that, Patty? This was posted by Stephen Gibbons over there at the Shabizz
Radio.
Is Patty
here? I don't hear her.
Yeah, I'm here, but I see Stephen. It's blank. I didn't get the picture because it's my computer.
Oh, it's in Skype. Well, what about you, Barbara? You want to read it out?
Where are you talking about?
Look in the Skype.
I'm not
chat.
On that link. I'm on People for People.
All right, well, I posted it in People for People as well.
Okay, let me hold. Oh, there it is. Hold on, I'll get it.
It's amusing.
Okay, there's Calvin Hobbs.
Yeah, that's it.
Calvin Hobbs, a little critter there, a chew. He sneezes into a tissue, and he goes, chew, and he's blown off his feet, and he's blown out into space. He says, the force of the nasal explosion sends Calvin reeling through the stratosphere. With less and less air to resist his momentum, he breaks the pull of Earth's gravity and hurls past the moon. And as he passes out of the galaxy, Calvin reflects on the wisdom of covering one's mouth when sneezing to deflect the propulsion. Alas, it is no knowledge gained too late for poor Calvin, the human satellite. But wait, another sneeze is brewing. Uh-oh, Calvin turns himself around. The second sneeze rockets him back to the Earth. Guess what? He's saved. It's a miracle. A chew. God bless you, his mama says. Oh, he does, Mom. He does. I like that.
Isn't that cool?
That's really cool.
Oh, Steven's awesome. I tell you what, he finds some really cool things. Oh,
yeah.
So where are we going from here, ladies?
Well... Patty, you have any ideas? I have an idea. I don't know. It's a little bit of separation from the what is it? I guess the fun stuff. It's more deeper stuff on this.
That's right. You posted a link earlier in there.
Yeah, now I can't find it. What?
Goji.
Goji?
I think we can handle it. Together we can explain it and guide everybody out of the mess at the same time. I think we got this.
Well, it's a mess, but I think that it's an important thing. What's really going on is this head of this country, and I see that's what I wanted to be able to speak to.
I'll get the link for you. I'm finding it right now. It's in our other chat.
Yeah, there's a big thing here. Supposedly a new law from this little wealthy little country, oil wealth there, big time. This head honcho there, well, basically he's a king of this country. There he is, Brunei. Okay. This is a very interesting thing because I see people are very upset about that, and they should be. But this is nothing new. It seems to be like they're posting this or presenting this as an introduction. Okay, Brunei set to introduce death by stoning for adultery and gay sex. So this is going across the world. People are protesting and upset and so on, like this is something new. You know, I wrote, well, this whole thing, this Sharia law, I think we need to, like, look into what is really happening because this is not new, punishable by stoning to death. And not only by this Sharia law, there's, like, other religions that have mutilated people, burned them at stakes, stoned them to death, and hung them, and whatever else in the name of their God. In this case, it's the name of Allah, okay, because it's Sharia law. So I was just looking at this, and this says a new strict Sharia penal code. It's to be enforced, okay, soon. And it's also defying heavy criticism that has kept the brutal provisions on hold for the last 4 years, but you know, I just feel that this is nothing, this is not new, but people don't know, and people are posting about this and all upset and all angry at this this guy here in this country, Brunei, you know, and what do you think about this, you guys, have you seen this?
I saw it yesterday, last night, and, you know, it's whenever I see these things like this, it always, I go straight to the point of this is the time that we are in, that these things will be more prevalent, that they will be being brought to us. This has to do with, I think, you know, we are in this time of proving. This is the proving ground for us. And one of the most courageous things that we can do in this time is stand up against evil, to put ourselves in front of it and say, you know, this is not acceptable, this is not just, this is not right, because in these times that we are living in, it's fast becoming and coming to a point where that which is good, that which is just, and that which is right and true are the enemy of this time. And speaking from that perspective makes you the enemy of many, many people who have been led astray. And we've talked about this, Barb and Shaziz, so many times before, that people are being caught up in this divisional agenda that is being put forth. None of this is by accident. None of this is not manufactured. And we talked about this also. These are the times that we're in, and it's the individual. It's you, and it's me. And it is where we are willing to stand. There's a, and I'm going to paraphrase because I haven't read the Bible in a long time, but it talks about the churches, and how there one is lukewarm, and one is cold. And I believe the churches that are represented in the Revelations are simply our ideologies and our beliefs in those systems. And if we stand in truth and if we stand in love, then we have to stand up against this. We have to speak against it. We can't be silent. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of trust in the Creator and in yourself and your connection to all living things. We have to look at each other as evil as evil is today. We can't get sucked up in it, and we have to put out that love frequency. And Barb talking about it all the time. We talk about it all the time on EFP, and she says, we cannot ignore what's happening. That's not our purpose. What our purpose is to combat it, to combat the evil with love, to combat the evil, the lies with truth, you know, to stand in the Creator's light, you know.
The book said that in the last days that the churches would be led astray, that there'd come a deception on the land that would, that even the elect might be deceived. And so, I don't subscribe to any type of organized religion to the extent is, I call myself a Christian because I follow the teachings of what Christ talked about, you know, honoring your mother and father and loving thine enemy and so on down the line. The words that he spoke resonated in my heart. And so that's the spiritual journey I'm on. But when it comes down to churches and what the actual word said, I have a grievance with that church because, you know, if you're there as, you know, in the, what you would call the house of God, and you're only helping people that are in your neighborhood because, or only members of your church, all of those people, regardless of where they came from, or regardless of what they believe, are God's people according to Christianity, the true Christianity. And so you should be helping all of these people. You should be helping anyone that walks through that door. You should be doing whatever you can to provide anything that you can to assist God's people, because what God said, what you do unto the least of me, you do unto me. And so by that definition right there, by what those words right there, every single person that walks this earth is of the Creator. And it doesn't matter if they live in your neighborhood or they're not a member of this particular church or whatever. And a lot of these churches want to turn into these big giant mega churches. They want you to donate your money. You know, they want you to tithe to the church 10% of every single thing that you got, everything that you earn or whatever. But there's more ways to tithe other than to hand money over to your church. You go out there and tithe just by helping people, just by going to the poor person and putting food in their hand, you know, or a shirt on their back. That's tithing. When anything you do positive towards our Creator's children, which is all of us, you see what I'm trying to say here? So the modern day churches, they're under a 501(c) tax exempt status. That's one of the things that aggravates me the most. And it's because that under that status, on one hand, you have people that holler about separation of church and state. And on the other hand, you holler about, you know, you don't want God in the government, and you don't want the government in your church, vice versa. You don't want these two things. But in order not to have to pay taxes on donations, they go under a 501(c) tax exempt status, which gives the government some sort of control over what the church says or doesn't say. Well, if you look back at the story, and some people get frustrated because they don't understand, they think I'm misquoting what the story was about. But Jesus was at the temple, and he got mad, and he started turning over the tables of the money takers. And everybody was freaking out. Why he's doing this? Why is he turning the money takers? They were collecting taxes at the church. And so a member from the, a person in the crowd said, Jesus, should we pay our taxes? And Jesus responded to the man, he said, well, whose face is on that coin? And he said, why, Caesar's? And he said, well, render unto the Lord what is the Lord's, and render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And that, you understand where I'm trying to go there? The two had got mixed up with each other. And all these other churches out there may have been, you know, with good intentions, but they let the system inside of what otherwise would have been nothing more than just like-minded individuals coming to try to get closer to God and study the Word of God and that kind of stuff there. But Jesus said that any time two or more come together in my name, there shall I be also. So anywhere you stand, you're standing in church. And your body, your body itself is God's temple. So
well,
you don't...
Jesus never said, build a monument in my name.
That's right.
Filled with gold and silver and dress up in fancy dresses and wear gold and fish hats and jewels and
stock
money in your you know, become wealthy in my name. I mean, so who's on our money? Okay, these are the money changers, by the way, not the money takers. It was the money changers.
Yeah.
Who's changing? Who's working with our money? Who's on our money today? Jefferson, Washington. You know, I mean, I don't know, but I'm just. For me, it's sort of like I have an issue, and I've spoken about this before, and I call it organized religion, because organized religion is about organizing people's minds, people's bodies, people's spirits, and controlling them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is not the sacred teachings of Creator, Great Spirit. And if you want to say Yeshua, Jesus, no, he didn't teach that. Neither did the peacemaker who came to Turtle Island. Neither did the white buffalo calf woman, okay? Neither did Viracocha, who came to the people in Peru. Neither did Buddha. All these beings came down to bring the word of goodness and harmony and peace and love. Okay, none of them said build a big monument and you know, garner and take all the money from the people and own their bodies and rule them and control them. This is the issue that I have with organized religion. It is a corporation. Big money, folks.
Yeah,
and plus,
they have
they're brainwashing you.
They have
to
a
keep
musical,
you away. Yeah.
They have a musical floor show when you go to church, and I get it. People come.
Well, now it's
music.
Like Hollywood.
Yeah.
I remember when all that changed. You know, I grew up Catholic, and I went to Catholic church when the Latin was being spoken. Okay, and there was this, you know, this whatever. I didn't understand what was going on, and I was forced to basically stand, kneel, sit, kneel, stand, kneel, sit, and basically say words that I didn't know what the heck they were meaning either. It was someone else's words. It took me nearly to in my mid-40s to go back home to find the Red Road, to find the way of the people, basically, go back home. Where I just wept because I finally made it back home, where nobody tells you how to pray, where you basically pray from your heart to Great Spirit.
Yep.
Okay? Nobody says you're doing it wrong, you must do it this way. A man's word, it's not a man's word, it's your heart spirit speaking to Creator Great. It's your relationship that was yours from the beginning that has been usurped and taken away from the people. You know? So I have a big issue with all these religions who talk about corporal punishment, beheading people, burning people at the stake if you're gay or if you're a woman or so-called witch. You know, the Inquisition, the Christian Church, the Catholic Church, the Inquisition that went on for 200 years that basically murdered 9 million people. Okay, nobody talks about that. The Sharia law, the Sharia penal code. Okay, Sharia penal code is an Islamic legal system which prescribes strict corporal punishments. And we're talking about cutting your hand off if you're a thief, and we're talking about beheading you or stoning you to death if you show a part of your body as a woman, or if you are, you know, basically fornicating with somebody, I don't know. Whatever they choose, they will punish you in such heinous ways, and Two Dogs said it right. Yeah, let's go back 3,000 years to, you know, to the Dark Ages where, and I don't know, I don't think they were doing that. I don't think the real people were
doing always that. Been, there has always been, as long as there has been religion, there's been suffering of people.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to put a question in here that Gaz has put in. He says, we all frown when we hear the term one world religion, but would a one world religion in theory not erase religious wars, ergo make Big Rock a calmer place? No, it wouldn't. As long as you have a dictate of how you should believe, how you should pray, then you are not standing in the light of your Creator.
Well,
you are standing in the laws of man.
If it's forced, then that takes away your free will, which is basically contrary to what we talk about as being freedom or sovereignty. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but wanted to throw that in there.
Well, and another thing that we have to, that I look at, we don't have to, you don't have to, but as far as I see, religion does not kill anyone. Religion does not cause suffering on anyone. The people who dictate religion, the leaders, people, individuals, they give out these edicts. And people follow these edicts. That's where the issues are, to me, is that we are so willing to follow a guy on a pulpit interpreting for everyone else what is and what should be. This is wrong. There is a simple law that governs us in this spiritual aspect of self, and that is to love one another, to realize that we are all of one relation, that we are all from the same source, the same Creator. So if we truly believe that, then religion would not have this hold on us. Religion would not be able to tell us that if you do something wrong, I can take a part of your body. If you do something wrong, I can take your life. And we would support that.
It sounds like
that is not living in the Creator's law. That's living in man's law.
It sounds like a carbon copy of government.
It is.
Yeah. So, I'm going to be a Christian until something in my path changes. But if you understand what it means to me when I say that, I'm not following any church. I'm not looking to go stand in a mega church and watch a floor show and all that kind of stuff.
Now that's what it's become, Hollywood now. But
yeah.
I have a question. It just came to me. So the Sharia law, beheading for being gay or whatever's, and stoning to death for being gay or whatever's. The Catholic Church, the Christian Church, the Inquisition, they burned people at the stake who were also gay, women, and gypsies, and who knows all else. But what's going on today? Okay, so the Pope is pulling in the Muslims, okay, trying to put everybody together here. Well, okay, so what about what's going on in the church? So if this Sharia law under the Muslims, is about stoning gay people to death if they are fornicating in that, what about all those priests? I'm wondering, so you have all these priests who are basically violating, the sacredness of children. And so now the Pope is basically complicit in this, and the bishops and so on. I'm just wondering about this. So here you have, he's pulling these Muslims in who abide by the Sharia law, correct? And they're saying, yeah, we're going to stone people to death if they're gay or if they're doing this or that we don't agree with.
Yes, it's by the company you keep, I'll tell you that.
Look, that's what I
always keep going back to whenever Jesus said that if any two come together in my name, there shall I be also. Doesn't need no church, and I'm hanging around, you know, the like-minded individuals, and we're not out there shouting in people's ear, telling them you got to believe or else. No, that's not the way you teach somebody. You teach somebody by being like a lighthouse. You lead by example, and if you can't do that, you're doing it wrong, as far as I'm concerned. You know, and when it comes down to, you know, a pastor of a church, a pastor of his church should be a servant of his community, a servant of his, he should be down there on a level with them, not standing up on a pedestal where everyone looks up to him as if he, you know, is the wise one. You know, it's, I want everyone in that church to be heard, because God don't just speak to me, he speaks to everyone, all right? Wherever you believe God is to be, our Creator speaks to you on a regular basis, on a daily basis. You see miracle after miracle every single day. You might not recognize your witness in a miracle. I just talked about how I ran off in the other room and got me some honey, and I used it so I wouldn't be sitting here hacking while I'm trying to talk on this show. But that's a natural thing. That came from our Creator, you know. Those beautiful little creatures called bees, and they're making this honey, you know, and as long as you work in harmony with them, they won't hurt you, you know, and they make medicine, they make food for themselves, they provide for our community, and there's no reason why we couldn't mimic what nature does. We could heal each other. We just got to be able to believe in this, but you can't surround yourself with murderers and thieves. I always say, you know, it's hard. It's impossible to walk through a cesspool and come out the other side smelling like a rose. So why would you want to walk through a cesspool? You see what I'm saying?
Anyone? Well, I think the most important thing that we need to recognize is that the only way that we change this is by not adhering to it. By not giving in to it. You know, there's two sides to this. You've got, religions are full of judges who make judgments against the people. And if we allow these judgments to be placed on ourselves, if we carry these judgments and place them on other people, then we are part of it. You know, and the thing of it is you said it earlier, Shaziz, you said that your church, and the same thing with me, my church does not exist within a building. My prayers do not come from a pulpit or from the edicts of that pulpit. My prayers are my personal communication. I don't need your words to talk to my Creator. I don't need your judgments to tell me what is right and what is just. What I need is to stand in my truth and to walk in the Creator's law. And if we can do that, we can't change everybody. We can't change anybody except for ourselves. And if we are yelling out at those people and saying, you're wrong, you're bad, you're evil, and they are, well, I'm not saying they're not.
The most hurtful words that I heard come out of a pastor's mouth was when he spoke that my words were nothing more than filthy rags to my God.
Yeah. And this is, if you buy it, if you take it home with you, then it belongs to you.
Yep.
And you pass it on. So you are in effect carrying on that judgment, and that's where we err. This is the time of proving. This time that we are in right now is part of the reality between spiritual and the physical world, and we have to recognize that this is our time to choose which one we're standing in. which one we're taking part in. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a cakewalk, even if you are strong in your connection. That does not mean that you are immune to what is going to be happening, that you won't inadvertently be participating in it. And I'm saying have to, you don't have to. I have decided, and it's, I know, you know, that speaking these words right now is one thing, but living them is going to be totally different. But we have to, me have to, separate myself from all of this religion. I don't recognize it. It has no reality in my spiritual walk. It has no credibility for me. We can't go and tell a Muslim who is bent on Sharia law that, okay, you got to stop this because it's the Creator's law that we need to be under, because that's not going to go anywhere, because they are fanatical in their belief. So we just have to shore up ourselves. We have to keep speaking from the Creator's law and in the Creator's law. I don't see any other way around it. We can't change religion. It is going to be the animal that it is. It is going to be the devil that it is. It's going to be the evil that it is and has always been. The only thing that we can do is make sure that we don't inadvertently carry that with us and put those judgments on others.
I think the most valuable lesson that I learned out of the words that you just spoke was that I got to work on myself. I got to work on myself. I can't change nobody else in this world. But if I do a good job of working on myself, and other people see how I either prosper or fail one way or another, they'll either choose to follow that direction or not, their own free will. I don't have to force my beliefs, my spiritual journey on anyone. All I have to do is be me. I have to be the best that I can possibly be.
Well, I think too. Oh, is that Ted? Okay. I think that the most important thing is that we ourselves, we make sure that we stand in the Creator's law, yep. that is where we're at, you know.
I just want to say that we don't have to worry, because there's a new God on the horizon. It's called artificial intelligence, the new religion.
Woohoo!
Is that going to be the one world religion,
It's just not asking. The one I'm following. Hey, Ted, whenever you're not talking, could you mute your mic, please?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I'm just putting that out, because this is we talk about the one world religion. Well, which religion is it going to be? It just came to me, hey, maybe it is this new religion being proposed. It's already being put in place. Is the artificial intelligent God is going to be the new one world religion? I don't know. Is that possible? Because it looks like we're heading in that technology.
Well, whenever I was watching one of these religious movies from way back, I can't remember what the name of this doggone movie. It'll probably dawn on me when I'm not thinking about it. But there was actually a computer system involved in this deal, where people would go inside this artificial intelligence or virtual reality world, and this being would actually give them a choice whether or not to denounce God or, you know, accept the mark. And if you didn't accept the mark, then you were instantaneously killed right there on the spot. And so you know, like movies like sometimes, well, more than sometimes, imitate reality. So if you look at this type of technology that we're talking about right here, it isn't beyond the realms of possibility that, you know, maybe 10, 20 years down from where we're at right now, it could be faster because technology is moving at a rapid pace. That we could one day see a world that, or you get in there and everybody is basically programmed while they're in there to believe in this entity as being the true creator. You know, it's like seeing is believing, and if you're actually in there, your mind is really powerful, but also at the same time susceptible to influence. It seems so real that they could literally convince you of a lot of things. I will never put on them virtual reality goggles. You'll never get me in there. There might be come a day whenever you're in there, you don't even know that you're in there, and you don't know how to get out. You could be laying on a table somewhere, wasting away as a being in a body that's deteriorating, and be stuck in this virtual reality where everything seems to be all fine, but in reality, you're not. You see what I mean? Man, don't everybody jump to the microphone at once.
Hey, Ted, what you got to say?
Hey. Well, I think that might actually be what's happening right now and why we're in these bodies right now, Shaz is.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me none, but I think we're learning something from this journey. At least the people showing up and listening in here, I think we're kind of getting on the same page here. We're coming to some sort of, I don't know if you want to call it mass awakening or reality or something. There's something changing. I mean, we're watching it happen in the way that we think and in the way that messages are delivered back and forth to each other. It's amazing sometimes when one of us will get an idea and we'll come on the show and the other one throws out almost an identical idea. It's as if we were all thinking in one mind all along, or sending that signal back and forth to each other. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
I don't know. It's just I just feel with everything that I am that we are going through something that is really so far above and beyond our comprehension, and it's so amazing. And if we're not fearful and we take those words of our faith from our heart. Patty and Barbara's always talking about listening to your heart spirit, and I believe that with everything I got, because my heart's never done me wrong. My mind, on the other hand, yeah, it's done me wrong more times than I care to count. But looks like we got Barry in here now too.
Hey,
how you doing, Barry?
Hey, good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
The brilliance is growing.
Good morning, Barry. Good morning,
how you doing,
Ted?
Barbara?
Good morning,
Maddie.
Barry.
Hi. Yes, I've had my second cup of coffee. The brain is starting to work. It's amazing how that makes my brain work, but it does. Not that it ever works good, but it seems to work a little better when I get some coffee in it.
So anybody want to catch Barry up to speed, or you been listening in, Barry?
I've been listening for the last half hour.
Cool.
Just drinking my coffee. Had rolled my morning, wake me up, and had a couple cups of coffee, and yeah, I'm feeling normal. I've been listening to the conversation, and I've been interacting in the chat room over there. Couple of people. Good chat going on.
I think I got a powerful message given to me this morning about the words that come out of my mouth and basically the way that I lead my life. And I'm not going to allow this world to tell me I'm weak anymore. I'm not going to allow this world to discourage me. You know, in those days when you hear me starting to slump, reach over there and give me a big old cyber smack and wake me back up to reality, because I don't want to go down that road anymore. I don't believe my God didn't create any trash, only treasure, and I'm looking to go out there and find those other jewels that are in the world and socialize with those folks, because those are the ones like the ones sitting on this panel right now. Good-hearted, wonderful creations of our Creator. I'm just honored, I'm humbled, and I'm blessed just to hang out here. I love the Knights of the Round Table. I love everybody. I love what the whole thing stands for. You know, there's a King Shaziz the Terrible we start off with a laugh and we end up lighthearted laugh. I don't ever want to be no king, but it is kind of funny. So that's how I start this show off every day. Even though we got some sometimes tense subjects that we got to talk about, but I think I learned a valuable lesson and not to let this world out there grind me into the dirt, because it takes away from what my God said that we were capable of doing, what my God was had done. If you understand what I'm trying to say, I'm just saying that I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that it is all powerful and all that kind of stuff. And so why would I think that the words that he spoke about what we were to do down here weren't possible, if you understand what I'm trying to tell you here? Sometimes I have a hard time gathering my words because my mind is going so incredibly fast.
We will never reconcile religion with the Creator's law. We will never reconcile the actions of religious sects and actions with Creator's law. It's not compatible. Man has done everything he can to elevate himself above the Creator. We've changed everything, including nature. That is the actions of man without standing in Creator's law. They're two separate things, so trying to bring them together is never going to happen. It has to come from the spiritual aspect of self, and there will never be a full consensus on that. We have evil in this world. We have great good in this world. We have great love and we have hate. They're two separate dichotomies brought by two separate ways, you know,
yep.
Two separate laws. So what we have to do, I think what we're doing in this time, we can always look back. We can go back as far as we can possibly go, and we can see that there has always been war against man against man, for ideologies, for resources, for state, for government. All of these things, they are created by man. And whenever man usurps the law of the Creator and steps into that place that is meant for our Creator, then we see the result.
Patty?
It's not going to change. To change.
Something you just said and something Barbara said matched hand in hand. When Barbara was talking about artificial intelligence, they were talking about making a one world religion with artificial intelligence, and you were talking about trying to step in our Creator's shoes, so to speak. There are scientists out there who quite literally say that we will become gods. They want to mix man and machine. And so at that point in time, that man that just became transhuman or whatever, you know, half machine, half man, who now has all these superpowers and computer processing, what's to stop that man from honestly believing that he is God? You see what
well,
I mean?
Well, me and Barb heard a scientist with the CRISPR technology tell us point blank that we are gods now, and there is nothing you can do about it. That was actually the words that came from them. And then we have this new computer system. What was the name of it, sis?
I'm just pasting it now in the chat.
Yeah, the guy said it's a god.
Yeah, well, this is a Google. Actually, this guy was an ex-Googler, found new religion to worship artificial intelligence God. I just posted it because this is very real. I mean, he's a multi-millionaire engineer, you know, and he's basically pushing this, that this is the way of the future, is this artificial intelligence religion is the God, the new God.
Does this computer have a name?
Yes, it does. Yeah. I can't remember it, though. Dang it. I have to go through my histories.
And all stories. Yeah.
But anyway, you know, this is where we are today, and I don't see it as being strange. What I find strange is the amount of absurdity and craziness. You know, we talked about this before in past years, that this time was coming upon us, and we were always saying, you know, it's going to be crazy. But when you live in it, I mean, on a daily basis, and you're seeing the way that man is implementing these false gods, these false creators, these false ideologies, it's tearing the psyche of man apart. It's causing such harm and chaos and separating people from the Creator in such a way that I find it blows my mind that people are so willing to adopt this, that they are so willing, after all the suffering we've been through, every time, and you know, me being an anarchist, I can see the evil of government. There are people that see the positiveness of government. There are people that see the positive side of religion. There's people that see the positive side of education. I'm always on the other side of that. I'm always sitting on the other side looking at it, and I'm seeing the harm that it does. It takes us further. Everything they implement takes us one step further away from our originality, our source of Creator. And this is the times that we're living in. They are going to bring about a new God. They are going to bring about a new religion. And there are people who will adopt it willingly. There are people who adopt it willingly, right? Every little thing that we do, we don't see it as being part of this big, big construct. But your cell phone, the computer, the things that we do on a daily basis when we interact now are done through this God, this artificial intelligence. We pay homage to this artificial intelligence on a daily basis, and we don't even recognize it. But we see the craziness that's being exhibited out there, and we say, wow, you know, how can this happen? And we're sitting here with the answer right in front of us, you know, with our little cell phones that we're texting constantly and on the computer and engaging in these debates and the construct, and we see ourselves as separate. But we need to be aware. We need to be aware of this construct and where we stand in it. But it's so insidious. It's so everywhere in our lives. We can overlook the fact that we're standing in it at the same time. This, to me, is one of the biggest conundrums, because how do we separate ourselves from it and still remain in this venue, in these forums, and be able to interact? Do we go back to pre-technology? Do we go back to before we became connected with each other? Or is there a different way that we can handle this and still stay separate from this new God and not serve it?
Remember we talked about that D-Wave, that computer where the guy...
That's what it was, D-Wave, yes.
Yeah. Created this and said that it is well, he said, first of all, if you stand near it, you can hear, it sounds like a heartbeat, and he said it's it's going to be this alien god. I mean, he talked about this. This is another one. This is not the first one I put up. The guy who's starting the religion, the new religion, this guy's working with a computer, the D-Wave. And he said that this will allow us to reach into dark dimensions and pull out and draw out technology.
Why
from these dark dimensions. So is this like seeking the demonic? I mean, is this opening the doorway to the demonic? Is this where we're heading, you know? And then we talked also about CERN doing the same thing, opening portals. You know, they want to be, yeah, like Patty said, we heard this scientist say, we are going to be gods, and you cannot stop us.
And they have the god of destruction, Kali, right there on the front stoop of the doggone thing.
Yeah, that should be a red flag right there, folks.
Yeah.
And when the guy stands up there and talks about the D-Wave, that it's an alien god, and we're going into dark dimensions, and everybody in the audience is going, okay, now that sounds really good. Wow.
Just like that little
tiny killer bot that the whole audience was applauding as it exploded that dummy's head. You know, I mean, this is the stuff that really is amazing to me. How you watch the public, you watch the people in these talks, in these demonstrations, in these, you know, these, like the people who were at that opening up that tunnel.
In Switzerland,
Barry, you want to talk on that? Did you see that?
Wow, that was the most demonic demonstration I've ever seen in my life. And anybody that's ever watched that, if that doesn't grab you and go, what the heck is going on here and where are these people's minds, you're not paying attention. That what we're seeing right now, in my opinion, in this planet, is the absolute running wild of the devil, because that's what I call him. I call him the devil. You can call him Lucifer, you can call him evil, you can call him the dark side, you can call him whatever you want. I call him the devil, and he's running wild. And that's talked about in my book in great detail, with this particular time in history when our knowledge will be expanded, that all that hidden will be revealed. When we think about that statement alone right now and what we're learning worldwide about the depth of corruption in our governments, what's being exposed to the public. We could talk about that for 20 minutes of all the things that have really been made known to us that years ago, if somebody said it to us, we'd think they're nuts. But now we know it's a reality. So to me, I see an accumulation of events that are really pointing towards the pinnacle in this particular time in human history. And everything I see every day seems to add to that belief of mine. So I'm sitting back watching it all unfold. I know we're in crazy times right now that I can't even begin to look at artificial intelligence. My brain is too small to even begin to comprehend all this stuff. But I know how it all plays out. I look at how the RFID chip is being mandated and ramped up around the world, and how in the next couple of years, I believe we will become, in the next 2 to 3 to 4 years, we will become a cashless society. We see that being pushed worldwide right now. And when they get to that point, they will have complete control over us. We will have no control over our lives. I believe all this stuff is coming very, very shortly.
Well, there's something else.
It's interesting times. It really is. They're interesting, they're exciting, and they're scary.
I just want to say, I found that YouTube. It's the full bizarre demonic Gotthard Tunnel ceremony opening in Switzerland.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
You guys,
you gotta go watch it, folks.
I was blown away by this. I was watching this, and it is just, it's pretty creepy and scary. But the thing that really struck me again, as I'm saying, watching the audience. Okay, these were high elite mucky mucks that were invited to this particular situation, but in the irregular audiences, you know, certain things that are exposed and shown that should have people gasping and going, wait a second.
Yeah.
No, they're just sitting there like dummies.
Mesmerized. Almost like in a trance.
Exactly. Tranced out. Exactly.
There's something else to what Barry was talking about being a cashless society. We've noticed a whole lot of catastrophic weather going on recently, but it doesn't have anything to do with climate change as explained by the system. There are quite literally people out there tampering around with nature. There's people out there tampering with the weather. And it, for those folks that think that that's just a conspiracy, go Google up weather modifications, and you will actually find on the internet companies that advertise just that. And if you look hard enough, you'll actually find government documents about just that. And if you look even harder, you'll find government documents that say owning the weather by 2025, to where these folks would have quite literally the power to get out there and manipulate weather. And if you understand anything about basic physics and science, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. What they tell you? Heat rises, cold air falls. Well, if you heat up one part, then you're going to cause cold air to mix with that. You're going to cause some reaction for that. So it is not science fiction. It's science fact that you can tamper with the weather. Governments have been jacking around with the weather since way back in Vietnam. That's how the whole Agent Orange thing came about, and other things where they were basically spraying chemicals on there to get rid of the grass, or spraying silver iodide into the clouds to make it rain so it'd be too muddy and they didn't have no weeds to hide behind. These were things that governments were doing. You could find documentations about it. So how do we as citizens or people, you know, how do we combat something that the government is like running amok? The devil, so to speak, is out there literally, like Barry said, running amok. How do we fight against that?
We make ourselves totally aware of it, so when the ploy is played on us, we know how to deal with it.
Exactly.
Because if you control the weather, you can control the population, you can control the world, you can control the weather.
Yeah, and so with that said,
what do we see going on?
Nebraska and Missouri is going through some major flooding. They say Nebraska lost like a million calves over there. And so,
worst flooding they've ever seen.
Yeah,
in
so now that's gonna it may not affect us right here in the moment, but down the line it's gonna make food prices go up. So I kinda suggest to people, if you can, you know, stock up on a few extras. It wouldn't hurt you to do so, because I'm seeing down the line, you know, prices of food going up a little bit high. I'm not saying start hoarding and freaking out. I'm just saying use some wisdom with what you see going on around you and prepare in advance. You know, that's nothing wrong with that. You know, we buy insurance all the time.
It's not just Nevada. You know, there's nobody's talking about what's going on. It's in the South Dakotas. It's the Pine Ridge Reservation. And all the reservations, the people were devastated with these floods. Not just the farmers and ranchers in Nevada. These were the people living in the Pine Ridge, one of the most, you know, I guess, I hate to use that term too, Shaz, the third world country, but it is like a third world country. The people are suffering, and they were flooded out, inundated. The people were stranded. The you know, they can't get out. They couldn't get the medicines. There was no food. I mean, this is a serious thing going on there, and they waited weeks, basically. Their own people couldn't get to them because all the machineries to clear the roads and whatever were destroyed, and things were so messed up there in Pine Ridge Reservation and the government just ignored them.
Yep.
Now, people are coming, the people themselves, like I have friends who are pulling together help and resources to truck down to the Pine Ridge Reservation. So the people are getting together, and other reservations, people in other areas that didn't have this happen to them, they're pulling together supplies to help the people there on the Pine Ridge.
Well, if we use our wisdom and our resources to pull together to help people through all these things, I think that's the best job that we can do. You know, even if it's just like these shows right here, I've had people say, well, all you all ever do is talk, you know. No, that ain't all we ever do. Behind the scenes, Barry does stuff. All of us do stuff. You know, we're all, Ted's out doing things. We're all doing things behind the scenes. Plus, we're, you know, giving information out that could be valuable if you take and, you know, use it or store it or whatever. And we're also throwing positive messages out there to give you, you know, tools to work with, the belief in yourself that you are more than what people want to try to make you out to be.
Well, when that person says to you, oh, I'm sorry, sis, I didn't realize you were going to say, go ahead.
No, go ahead, finish what you have. And
I was just going to say, when people say that to you, oh, all you do is just talk, ask them what they're doing.
Yeah.
Just say.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Well, here's another thing that we need to think about, too. If we are putting out a message of love, if we are putting out a message of raising the frequency, raising the vibration, then we are doing a great work. It's not about changing, going out there and changing what's happening. Look at all the people being proactive out there trying to change things, and they're not changing. Why is that? It's because we're in the time of proving, and these things will be. And we're not just dealing with the governments and the chemtrailing and the evils that are being perpetrated by the churches and these systems that have been instituted. We are also in a cyclical time of events that are beyond anyone's control. And the things that are happening on Earth are not totally to do with man and what man is doing. These are things that are known that are going to occur. So we're dealing with two aspects. We're dealing with the cycle of life and the frequencies and the vibrations, and we are dealing with man and his instigating and mitigating and trying to create more havoc and more chaos. And if we stand in a place of love, and if we stand in a place of truth, and we do not back down, and we keep our message strong, and we keep trying to bring the people into unity with this frequency of love and compassion, then we are doing everything that we can possibly do at this time,
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is the key piece, and we've definitely talked about that. It is about the frequency. Everything is about the frequency, and that is the power that we have that is in our hands. Exactly. You are so right. Yep.
I agree.
Thank you for that.
Have you, did you, lady, follow what Justin Trudeau said to the indigenous leader from the Stony Plains Reserve?
No, I didn't.
In Northern Ontario, boy, I'll tell you, what a slap in the face. This man absolutely slapped this lady right in the face. The Stony Plains Reserve is in Northern Ontario. They have been suffering from mercury poisoning from the late 80s, when over approximately, they don't know the exact numbers, between 1 and 200 pounds of mercury was dumped in their watershed. And this reserve has been suffering for the last 30 years from the effects of mercury. Their death rates are right off the chart. Everybody in the community is suffering from mercury. The government's been promising for years and years and years to do something about it, yet we still hear crickets from the government. This lady confronted Justin Trudeau in a town hall, and he, of course, had her escorted out of the room. And as she's leaving the room, she paid $1,500 to get into this fundraiser. She paid $1,500 to get in there to confront him with a hard question. And his response to her as she's walking out the door was, thank you for your donation. After he slapped her in the face. I just wanted to bring that up to you guys, because it really, really, really pissed me off, guys, when I saw his abuse and his hypocrisy towards this incredibly strong woman that was just asking. Yeah,
Flint, Michigan.
Same thing.
And it's not just, it's on the Navajo reservation, okay? It's in our cities. It's on various other, the Hopi, the Navajo, the people up north. Everywhere you have this dumping of these poisons onto the people's lands.
Look at the reservation in Colorado right now that are being affected by Hanford and other nuclear facilities that are leaking into the Colorado River and stuff. There's actually a state of emergency been declared in three of the reservations on the Colorado River system right now because of contaminants. It's happening everywhere. We're contaminating our water. Well, where's the sense in that, guys? I mean, water is
the It's not just the reservations. Yes,
right.
it's everywhere. Look at Flint, Michigan.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where we look. We see contamination of groundwater. Look what fracking's doing to our groundwater around the world. Well, are we nuts? Are we insane? Allowing this to go on?
Well, again, let's keep a balance here, because as we talk about these things, you know, we do know that there are solutions, and this is what we have to keep in mind. And, you know, in our way, in our tradition, we talk about these water ceremonies, and this one water ceremony that I was privileged to be taught by the people up north, the grandmothers up there, what this ceremony does, and it's the same thing that we've seen scientists suddenly come and realize, the proof that frequency, words, change molecular structure. Words have a power. Words can change what is polluted into harmony and balance to its original structure again. We have to keep remembering this, because this has been proven now scientifically, whereas our people use these water songs, these water healing ceremony songs, not only for the water, but of course, to work on a person that is sick. Guess what? Well, we're a certain percentage of water, but we have these healing ceremonies that have a power through word, through the frequency, and miracles do happen. So, I mean, it's not hopeless, and we are not helpless. Again, we have to keep remembering this. We talk about these horrible things that our governments are doing and that the people are suffering, but we cannot lose sight of the other side. We cannot lose sight of the power that we do have. Now, it's been proven that if you have a polluted water and you talk to it and you tell it you love it and I'm so grateful for you, it actually changes the molecular structure back into harmony and balance. This is amazing. This has been proven scientifically, but it's what our people have known forever, pretty much. The power of our words, the power of prayer. And, yeah, what is that was it that Japanese man who did those studies on the water?
Yes, Dr. Emoto.
Emoto. Well, he basically validated and proved what indigenous people have known from the very beginning. Okay, so we do have a power. The certain words of these songs, the cadence, the rhythm, and everything presents a certain frequency. Okay, the words and the cadence and the tune and the tone of everything. And we are use medicine, we use medicine birch clappers, because the birch tree is a medicine of the water and a medicine of women. And this particular song I'm talking about, this ceremony, is very ancient. And women were the keepers of the waters, the sacred women.
I gotta tell you something, Barbara. There's a Barry knows Vin from People's Internet Radio. He did a video where he showed there's another guy that did a video where he was actually taking sound waves and had a regular oscilloscope, and these oscilloscopes with the sound waves that they were sending out were sending three-dimensional geometrical shapes onto that screen with no modifications to the oscilloscope. Just using these sound waves was everything necessary to tell that oscilloscope to actually make these three-dimensional shapes inside there. And if you just sit there and watch it, it was like, it's mind-blowing that he did that just with sound.
So that's Tesla.
Yeah, so what you're, well, I don't know who the
vibration, and he's, Tesla showed us through vibration and frequency that we could change the molecular structure. Also, there's other people that, not just water, we can do this with anything, because like Truth Stream Media did the experiment with rice, with cooked rice. The same thing with the water, but on the cooked rice, and they did the three jars. And with these three jars, one they ignored totally, the other they said horrible, angry things to, and the other one they said only love and positive things to. And at the end of 2 months, the one that was totally ignored was it was going bad. The one that they spoke the positive to was the least affected, and the one that they said the negative things to was totally engulfed in rot and things like this. So The proof is in the pudding, and we know this in our lives. We talk about this prayer. When we come together in prayer, miracles happen. When we have a knowing within us that the words that we choose, the songs that we sing, the actions that we do, when we are standing in light and in love, we make change. It's undeniable. I've talked about the fact that a whole room can be sitting there and can be in an argument, people in there, and they can be exclaiming loudly and trying to get their point across. And one individual walks into the room in a love frequency, and the room completely changes. The attitudes of the people completely change. I have seen this. I have seen children, when they're introduced to the earth and allowed to be a part of the earth and interact with the soil and the plants and the animals, a complete change comes upon them. And it's the same thing with us. It's the frequency and the energy with which we interact with each other. This is the truth. This is the vibration and the frequency of Source, and it can be used in one way or another. It can be used for good, it could be used for bad, but the intent that we express these frequencies and these energies can move a mountain.
I believe it.
Yeah.
God spoke the world into existence is what my book said. He said, let there be light, and there was light, and so on down the line. Y'all know the story, you've heard them. But either way, that's power. That's the spoken word. That's true power right there. And it's amazing. And we're not all that far apart in our ways of thinking. It's amazing that if you take a look at all these different cultures, and I'm not talking about the religion portion of the cultures, I'm talking about how people have come to their belief system or their spiritual journey, that we're all really not that far apart. That, you know, if you think about the story about the Tower of Babel, how all the tongues were scattered throughout all the different lands, and, you know, all these different cultures, that, you know, maybe every one of these different cultures are the lost tribes that, you know, were spoken about in that book. You know, I don't know everything that there is to know.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I just feel like I'm going to change the direction here a little bit. I'm having a conversation with on James and Angel, who were asking about the White Buffalo Woman. All right, our story of the appearance of the White Buffalo Calf Woman that I spoke about. Throughout history, as I have said, there were many who were sent by Great Spirit to the earth throughout millennia at different periods of time to bring the same words and the same teachings, and I spoke about that. The peacemaker came here to Turtle Island long before Yeshua, Jesus, came 2,000 years ago. Okay. Then you have the Viracocha, who was the same type of being who came to teach the people the same things, came long before pre-Columbian history, and various other persons, Buddha, you could say, and so they all brought the same message of love, compassion, caring, stewardship of the earth and each other. It's the same message. So the White Buffalo Calf Woman appeared to the people and brought the same message, the teachings, and the sacred ways of the Dakota people through the Chanumpa Wakan, the sacred pipe. It's one of the most powerful implements and gifts from Creator is that pipe, is that Chanumpa. Okay, it's an unknown power. It heals people. It is extraordinary. Okay, it is a power unknown to us. And those that carry that Chinupa can either do harm or good, depending on their frequency. I'm going to use these words now because this is what we're talking about. Depending on how that person speaks, how they function, how they hold, and their actions are all about energy and frequencies. And that runs through this powerful Chinupa, the sacred pipe, as does every sacred item that we have. Medicine bundles and eagle feathers and various things, it's all the same. So the question was the white buffalo calf woman a buffalo, an actual buffalo? And no, she was not a buffalo. She came as a spirit, as a woman sent from Creator, a young woman actually, dressed in white buffalo or white deer skin. And so the teaching, the main teaching out of this, I guess, for humanity was that as this particular time, the people were really struggling and they were hungry, and they sent out two young men, two warriors out on the plains to search for food, to search for the elk or the buffalo or anything that they could find for the people. And the young men were there, and they saw in the distance this cloud forming upon the earth and rising up into the air. And they were looking at it and watching it, and it came closer and closer and was approaching them. And out of this mist appeared a young Indian woman, and she was dressed in a deer skin, and she had her braids and so on and feathers, and she came closer and closer. And the story is that one of the young men looked upon her as, I guess you would say, from a sexualized perception, that this woman was really like, he desired her, okay? The other young man saw her as sacred and was in awe of her. And as she came closer and closer, she beckoned to the young man who was looking at her as a sexual object and had desire for her in that way. She called to him, and he came to her, and he entered into the mist. He was enveloped in this mist. And when the mist disappeared, she remained, and at her feet was a pile of bones. And the young man, of course, was no longer there.
Wow.
She then told the other young man who saw her as sacred, we call it Wakan, sacred, and respected her, she told him to go back to your people. Tell them I am coming, and I will be coming soon, and I will bring them the sacreds. And there's the song that we sing in our ceremony that says her words, I am coming from the west, and I am bringing the sacred ways to you. And it goes like this. Nia ta nia. Mawaniye, Niyataniya, Mawaniye, Oyatelei Mawaniye, Eaya, Eaya, Eaya. So that song says, I am coming to you, I am coming from the west. So we sing that song in our Inipi, in the sweat lodge. It's called, well, I don't call it the sweat lodge, I call it the Inipi, because it's the purification ceremony in its traditional way. And we welcome in the spirits and the ancestors in that way. When she went to the people, she brought them the seven teachings of the seven sacred ceremonies. She brought the Chinupa Wakan, the sacred pipe. She said that if you stand behind this, if you follow the way of this Chinupa, the sacred way, you will have good health, good fortune, harmony and balance, peace, and live long, and your people will survive. Okay, so she appeared as a woman, a young woman. And when she was leaving, she told the people, someday I will return. And as she walked further on, she sat down on the ground and she rolled over and she became a brown buffalo. She stood up again as that buffalo went down on the ground and rolled over and came, stood up as a black buffalo. She rolled over one more time, she stood up as a red buffalo. The last time she rolled over and stood up, she was a white buffalo.
Wow. I gotta tell you, woman, you got a really beautiful tone in your voice.
Well, thank you.
So we've heard you sing, we've heard Barry sing, we've heard me sing, we've heard Gary sing, we've heard Buzz sing. Now we're going to have to get Ted and Patty to sing.
Oh, thank you.
I sing all the time.
I want to finish this story because it answers the question. of so the prophecy came from the Lakota people that the white buffalo calf woman someday would return as a sign for us that we needed to change our ways. Okay, in 1994, there was a family out in Janesville, Wisconsin, who went to an auction, and they bought a little scrungy little herd of buffalo. Nobody was paying attention to the buffalo there, and they felt sorry for them. They went there for cows. So they bought the little herd of buffalo, and the following year, one of those buffalo, female buffaloes gave birth to a white buffalo calf, which is, like they say, I don't know, the percentages of that are really huge. And that was the fulfilling of the prophecy of the white buffalo calf woman returning. The people from the indigenous people gathered there at this little farm, set up their drums, their teepees, their sacred fires, were praying and singing with joy because the prophecy of the white buffalo calf woman was fulfilled. So that, I hope, answers your question, Angel and Anjams. Because I want to clarify what this is, how powerful this is, because the return of the white buffalo was a sign that we are in trouble, that humanity is in trouble, and the people must get back to the ways of the original ways of the ancestors, okay, which is the teachings of Yeshua, the peacemaker, white buffalo calf woman, Viracocha, Konkokan, and Buddha, all the same teachings. So, and from that time on, many, many people have reported different animals, the moose, a pure white moose, pure white giraffe, pure white peacocks, pure white squirrels, pure white crows, on and on and on and on and on and on. The messages have been coming to us, and these are sacred. The spirit bear up there in north, the white bear. I mean, these are messages from spirit, so I just wanted to share that. You know, thank you all for listening, Pilamaya.
Well, that was awesome, and you broke out in song. Now we just got to wear down Patty and get her to break out in song one day.
I sing all the time.
All right.
Never heard you sing yet, Patty.
You're all weird.
That's the best you're gonna
I can
get.
Hum in the background for your background noise. What do you want
there
to sing,
go,
buddy?
Ted,
I want to drum, bring like people together, not separate them.
Well, sing it.
Oh, that's so funny. You know, in our way, in our tradition, and I know, sis, you'll agree with me, nobody judged anybody for their singing because the singing was prayer, right?
Yep.
Yes, yes. And to my credit, I do sing. I sing all the time. But I feel sorry because I see my husband and my sons running away when I do it. So,
you know. But it's only the humans that judge. It's not, yeah. It's not the ancestors.
Right.
The ancestors love you. Love to hear you sing.
Exactly, and that's what's important. Humans, they don't matter, man. It's the ancestors. I'm allowed to sing, but only in the shower, so.
That's why I love this family. But you know what? Don't criticize your singing, because all you gotta do is find that right spot and you'll have it. I'm telling you, everybody's born with song in their heart, and you're more impressive than you want to give yourself credit for. But that's fine. It's good to be humble. What about you, Ted? You got a song in your heart, brother?
Yeah, I've always got a song in my heart. I'll give you all one. I love you, a bushel and a peck, a bushel and a peck, and a hug around the neck, a hug around the neck, and a barrel and a heap, a barrel and a heap, and I'll be talking in my sleep about you.
Woohoo, I was dancing.
I love it. Way, that's so cool.
All right, the only one left is Patty. You know, I saw.
I just sang.
We didn't hear it.
Golly, guys.
Okay, sis, do it again. You love it. Do your thing.
There you go.
Na 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 na
na na na. We'll let her get by with that
those
one.
Those are generic words. I can put any meaning in there. When I say na 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 na, you know, so I might be saying Yeah, I might be saying, I am feeling awesome. And sometimes I'll say, nah, 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 nah. And I'll be saying, you better sing these words, because if you don't, you're going to go off. See? So it's interchangeable.
All right, well, that's good.
That's Patty's rap. That's Patty's rapping.
That's my rapping.
I'll tell you what. We are from a talented, wonderful world. We got some just loving hearts with song all embedded deep in there and all that kind of stuff. It's a good day. So it is. We're right down there to the wire again. We got 10 minutes left to squeeze in a whole bunch of brilliance. Does anybody?
Dang, how does that happen?
I don't know. We had too much fun.
And yeah, you know
the show's got to go longer.
Hey, you guys got on earlier. You guys got on earlier today, so I don't know. It didn't make any difference. We still ended quickly.
Yeah. I just want to get back to flooding for 1 minute, guys, okay? Because there was a conversation going on in chat there, but, you know, I've been looking at numbers of flooding for the last 3 or 4 months here, and I've gone to as many sites as I can possibly get to get a compiling of what we're seeing happening. And we are seeing an increased, absolute mind-boggling increased flooding activity around the world. So I just say to people, go look at the numbers, because you're not getting this information through mainstream. A lot of this isn't covered unless you go looking for it. But we are actually seeing incredible flooding events happen worldwide, and the increase is undeniable. Look at the last 100 years, which I have. I've tried to get as much information about it as I can, but we are seeing catastrophic flooding events on the surface of the earth that maybe you could say because of lack of communication between the human race. But the fact is that we're seeing a major increase in flooding happening around the world right now. All I wanted to say about that.
Well, I think that now would be the best time for all of us to be as strong as possible. I'm going to say the words, I am strong, because that's what my Lord said. And so, you know, with that, I want to inspire everyone else out there to, you know, share this podcast with somebody. Believe in yourself, most of all. You know, because if you're strong, you're more able to help people out. And there's people out there that need help right now. There's flooding going on, like Barry said, all over the doggone place. I just think that there's an amazing time coming down the road. I think it's going to be some tough times. But I also believe that we can get through it. I know we can get through it. You know, somebody said that if God is for you, then who can be against you? You know, and if we're all family, and if we are all of the Creator, no matter who you believe that to be, if we're all family, and we have the power of the spoken word, and we have the power of our actions, there's nothing that can't be accomplished. Jesus said if you had the faith of a mustard seed, that you could move mountains. You could speak to that mountain, and it would surely move. He said that. I believe that. Right? I believe that. Something really special happened here today. From the beginning of this show's conception this morning to all the events that took place prior to getting here, I heard Barbara's words alongside while I'm listening to this man speak about the power of words, about how you can talk yourself down, how you can talk yourself up. But if you want to glorify your Creator, don't talk bad about yourself, because you're His creation. God didn't make any trash. He only made treasure. There's wonderful treasure sitting here. There's wonderful people. I love these people with everything I got. I love the people in that People for People chat room with everything I got. I love each and every one of you with everything I got. I am so thankful, so honored, and so blessed to have each and every one of you show up. And, you know, I peeked over at the numbers of people watching this, listening to this deal today. We had a mind-blowing show today. I don't know. It's like the call went out. We want somebody to hear an important message, and people showed up to hear it. That's to me moving those mountains, because when I heard those words that Barbara had spoke in the past, and I heard the words that this man had spoke on this video, you know, I was just in awe. I felt like I literally had been reborn in my faith to be stronger of a person and to not be negative on myself. However you want to look at it, folks, I believe a miracle unfolded here today on this show, and I honestly believe that it has many times before that we just might not have recognized it because of the way that the world is right now. We're in some interesting times. But I'm telling you, I believe with everything I got, we can get through this together, and we can shine those lights with one another, and we can make it through whatever this world has to throw at us. I refuse to live in fear. The devil will not win. I will not allow him to win. I don't know if the devil knew it, but he lost the fight before he ever even started the fight, because our Creator is all-powerful. I believe in love, and I believe in each and every one of you, and I hope and I pray that you believe in yourself as well, because you're a piece of that puzzle that we need. So with that said, who wants to go first with some words of wisdom before we get up out of here?
I just want to say that tomorrow, tune in to Patty and my show, Turtle and Crow. We're having amazing guests coming on to talk about Rick Simpson's hemp oil. Right, sis?
Yeah. Lynn Cameron and Bernie McCready. And yeah. Lynn has really good news. She is, for those who don't know, Lynn had a tumor in her brain. She had cancer. And she is still, after what, a year, she is still cancer-free because of Rick Simpson's hemp oil. So, yeah, tune in. There's a lot of good stuff. They're both very high energy. And Bernie, she will make you laugh. Her energy is wonderful. Tune in tomorrow what time do we go on? 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, but it's
9 p.m. UK.
Are we changed now with the time?
Dang, that dang time zone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I don't know. Just tune into Gaz. Gaz, thank you, brother. We'll tell you. What time? I'm just going to be quiet now. I want to hear what Ted has to say in the last beautiful words.
Well, I was thinking about the idea of the what I consider the attack on the Muslim faith, and how to me personally, knowing Muslim people, like I consider them like a really beautiful people of peace and love, and you know, as any organized religion is, like, there's a lot of, like, really, like, disturbing things in a lot of organized religion, whether it be, like, Christian or Jewish or Muslim or any of that, really. Even some of the Hindu has some of the kind of extreme sects that are pretty weird themselves. And, you know, I think that unconditionally we need to learn to understand that, like, the Muslim people are under attack. And they've been under attack for a long time because, in my opinion, like, folks have always wanted to go to the Holy Land and take it over. They tried the Crusades and they couldn't do it, and they had to invent, like, steel horses to get there. And now they've got there and crushed them, basically, and, like, done what they are doing over there. It's like, I think we should be spreading a lot of love and embrace for our brothers over there, because there's a lot of them that live in peace and harmony that basically believe in the message of Jesus and a lot of other things, like Jewish and Christian faith. And to be honest, in my research, they've lived in pretty much like a peaceful state over there for a long time, and except for, like, you know, the branching out of religions and turmoils over areas and properties. Like, in my research, like, in understanding, like, Christians and Jews and Muslims have lived together for a long time together. A really long time. A really, really long time. And not, that's maybe only 2,000 years or 1,000 years or whatever, but that's a long time to me, and I just think we got to keep spreading that love and understanding. And, like, yeah, there's always going to be some bad apples, but, you know, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And I think the Christians have a lot of stuff to clean up in their own backyard before they get all upset about how Muslims live their lives. And
I think there's enough evil in all religions. Myself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that we have the power. I think that we have the power to sort through all that, and like Barry was mentioning earlier about the last days that all truths would come to light. We're seeing it. We're seeing it real time. Those folks out there that would turn and twist any what would have been a good thing into a bad thing for their own personal gain, they're being shown. The light's coming on. I honestly believe something really incredible, if you want to say biblical or prophetic or whatever, something really incredible is occurring, and we are part of this thing. We're all part of this. Everyone listening is part of this thing. And I honestly believe that we have the power to make it through the other side and be just fine. I think we're going to be all right no matter what happens.
I believe that too, and I believe that love is the is the key. I believe that love and compassion toward everyone is the key. I believe that that is the most powerful frequency, that we can make change even to those or toward those or affect those. And according to creators, you know, what creators plan with that person. But I think our participation is to raise the frequency of love and compassion toward others, even if they are lost or even if they are believing in or doing harm. I, rather than hating those or you know, putting out that energy, I refuse to do that. I know that, yes, I agree. That's why I have this issue with organized religions, because there are some terrible things in all religions. And the Sharia law, you might want to, I mean, I'm advising people to investigate what exactly is this Sharia law, because this is present today where they are so-called law, but it's not new. It's old, stoning gay people to death or cutting the hands off of thieves. And
the religion of peace.
And the religion of peace. Now,
which just most like Muslims follow.
Just like people just like people who are involved in organized religions, there are good people. There are very good people who would never advocate burning someone at the stake, stoning them to death because of their preference, or if they're not this religion, then they get stoned to death. I mean, we saw that in the Christian religion, the Crusades, the Inquisitions. We see the hate that the evangelists have for people, you know, of different persuasion or whatever. I don't hate people, you know. I will not hate people. I know all people have, you know, have a choice and a free will. I'm just saying we need to know, really we need to know, if you're going to stand by or stand up or stand strong with someone or something, whether it's a political person or not, you must know, do your research about that person. Do your research to know, really, this is important. I'm not condemning anybody who has involvement in a religion. I'm condemning some of the laws in these religions across the board. But, okay, I just want to say to everybody out there in the chat, I just love you all, and I'm so grateful that you joined us today. And I also love your insights, your questions, and everything that you are sharing. And sometimes we have different ideas and different opinions. It doesn't mean that I don't love you, and it doesn't mean that I still, you know, am not here for you in that way. And I'm sending you all love. And this is what we do here on the round table. We're not here to condemn people. We're here to share and to have dialogue and to teach each other. That's all I'm going to say. Pilamaya.
Wonderful.
Gokshan.
Wonderful. So, who's next?
Patty or me, I'll go if you want.
Was Ted done?
Yeah. Did you want to respond, Ted?
I definitely didn't mean to spawn any kind of negativity or to attack the message you all had previously. I'm just saying that in every sect of all these religions, there's good people. I consider them kind of trapped in there, and they need to grow from it, but it's, who am I to say they need to grow from it? And, you know, but I know that these laws are bad. Like, there's Jewish laws that are bad, where they're doing bad things. There's Christian laws that they do bad things to each other. And there are these Muslim laws doing bad things to each other. And my message, all I'm trying to really say, is that we really do have to figure a way to come together and grow above this.
Yeah.
You
know,
I know that, Ted.
And it was a good message.
You tell me some Christian laws that tell me to go harm another person. Tell me one. Out of doctrine, I challenge you on that. You're not going to make a statement here. Wait a second. You're not going to make a statement like that in front of me and not be able to back it up, buddy. I'm going to be very civil about what I'm saying here. Let me talk. It's important. If you sit here and tell me that the doctrine of Islam, that the following of the Quran is compatible with anything that we stand for or believe in, then you are spreading false doctrine, because I've studied the Quran, I understand what the doctrine of Islam, I understand the Prophet Muhammad, I've studied the 1400 year history of Islam, that 82% of the Muslims in the world today follow the Quran, and if you're telling me that those are peaceful people, they might deceive you to believe that they are peaceful people, but you must study the history of that before we make a statement like that on this show, my friend. That's all I'm going to say. Period. Sorry for getting mad, but I had
to say
that.
I mean,
that's how
I understand frustration with it. I mean, I kind of have the same frustration because, like, I've got some friends that are Muslim. Like, I know they're Muslim. They're generational Muslims, and they wouldn't hurt a fly because that's in their teachings of peace. Like, people will choose different parts, I mean, they'll agree. Like, there are sects of Muslim people that are evil. But I think that we can see that in Christian faith, too. Like, there are sects of people that call themselves Christian that are not very Christian. Like, they call for war. They call for destruction of other people. They call for nasty things in their churches.
Well,
and it's not pleasant.
Well,
and, you know, I wouldn't call that.
Anyways, thanks. Anyways, I think the time
I do want to... I'd just like to say that today, in this very day, thankfully... Catholic Church Christians are not burning people at the stake. They're not burning gays at the stake. Okay, they're not crucifying people. Okay, but they have a bunch of pedos in their behind their walls. Okay, the Sharia laws today, they are stoning people to death. They are cutting the hands off of people who steal something to maybe because they're starving. They are burning people alive. They are beheading people. Okay, this is happening today in this moment. Yes, historically, the Catholic Church in the Crusades and the Inquisitions, and still, also, we have the evangelists are pushing hate toward gay people and other people. It's all bad, but today with Sharia law, this is the reality right today. And I'm not saying that within that religion there are not good people. I'm sure there are. But we have to look at the law itself, the doctrines, the Sharia law. This does not compare with my creator or my great spirit's creator's law of one. So that's why I say all organized religions are basically bad.
But
I mean, they are. They all have these doctrines.
Yes. But it all comes down to, with every good thing that it had been hijacked, maybe way prior to the history of when supposed Muhammad showed up on the scene, maybe they were of a different way of thinking in those days. I don't know the full history. Well, let me finish. I don't know the full history of the thing, so I can't really testify that. But what I do know is that in every single faith, there are people who have been led astray that would do things that they believe, or they would misconstrue the words that, like what Jesus spoke or whatever, you know? I just think that if you take down and you get down to the actual heart of the matter, you know, Catholic Church isn't Christian Church as far as my personal spiritual journey, what I believe. Now, they were under the Christian flag, so to speak, back during the Crusades, and they did a lot of terrible things, but that's also something that I would not have agreed, because that's not what Jesus told me. All right, that's not what the words that Jesus told me. Jesus didn't tell me to go out burning people. He didn't tell me to do all these things. So, somewhere along the line, somebody took what would have otherwise been a good thing and distorted it into something for their own personal gain. And I think that's what finally got us to the point where we're all pitted against one another. God said we're all created in His image. All of us. That means every living man, woman, and child on this world. Some of them are, you know, misguided. Some of them don't even believe at all. But God said we were all created in His image. And so, somewhere along the line, somebody got misguided. Somewhere along the line, the Muslim got misguided. The Christian got misguided. The Catholic got misguided. The Buddhist and the Hindu and all the way around the line. All of us got misguided somewhere along the line. But if you track that back to what we call Satan or the darkness or demons or just flat out evil, the evil is there to basically counterfeit that what is good and distort it into that which is bad. And that goes to all cultures all the way across the line. But when it comes down to it, if you believe that we do have a creator, and then that our creator is glorious and powerful, and you believe those words, You can't talk down to yourself. You can't talk down to your brothers and sisters. We can talk against evil all day long, and that's a good thing. We're going to stand up against what's wrong. But we can't allow that to make us angry at one another. We can't allow that to make us not understand one another. Here at the Knights of the Round Table, it's amazing how we can always agree to disagree in a respectful manner. And we've got people from all different political backgrounds, all different colors, religion views or whatever. I say religious views, but that word, that terminology, sometimes we got to be really careful about the terminology that we use, because words do have power. And I believe that there's some really, really good words said today. I believe.
I'm going to apologize to this for getting a little mad there. Okay, guys, I am, because hey. I don't usually listen. I got to speak. Okay,
you're
I don't usually get mad. Okay, but the reality is that the Quran is the most evil doctrine ever conceived by a human being who was a pedophile, which is a fact. The fact that we now have the Catholic Church, the Pope meeting with one of the most powerful imams in the world and telling his audience that the Quran and the teaching of Islam are 100% compatible with the teaching of the Bible really says out loud exactly what's going on inside the Catholic Church, that we just saw the third highest ranking member of the Catholic Church organization now is sitting in a jail in New Zealand for sex crimes against choir boys. We know what's going on. We know how the Catholic Church was taken over by the Jesuits and the Freemasons. Who runs the Catholic Church? And what the Pope is now telling millions of followers around the world, that the Quran and the teaching of the Bible are compatible. And if you read the two books, you will shake your head. Well, it really, really speaks volumes for what's happening right now inside the Catholic Church.
You don't want to believe the devil, because the devil is speaking, my friends.
Exactly, Barbara. Exactly. You got to look through the smoke and mirrors. You must look through the smoke and mirrors. That all this, one other thing I want to factor in, and then I'll shut up, okay? That all the Christians right now that are being slaughtered around this world, and they are the most slaughtered individuals in this planet right now, are being perpetrated, a majority, and I don't have the exact numbers, but I've been looking at that, are being perpetrated against Christians by our peaceful Muslim brothers. I'm just going to leave you with that thought, okay? We don't see Christians running around the world slaughtering people. We don't see Christians perpetrating unbelievable acts of terrorism all around the world. Absolutely undeniable fact that it comes back to our peaceful Muslim brothers and sisters. And sure, there's some good Muslims out there, but the doctrine of Islam is not compatible to Western civilization or my way of life, and it defies everything I believe in. Thanks for letting me say that.
Well,
sis, I get mad, guys.
Okay, sis, my sister, I just want to ask you, I know you want to say something, and I'm just going to ask you, remember you and I were looking at, was it the Talmud? Was it the Torah or the Talmud that we were so shocked and disgusted with some of the rules and teachings in that about the Talmud? So Barry, I want to say that it is not it is not just the Quran. This is what we're looking at again, organized religions, what we found, what was being said that was okay to do to babies, to little girls in that Talmud would just disgust you, shock you. Okay, so all right, so go ahead, sis.
Well, I want to read something here in a minute, but I just wanted to add in on this, that your belief should never, your trust and your connection should never rely on a book or a church or a minister, priest, whoever, imam, whatever. It should never be based on that. You came here with the connection to your creator, to the source of all things, and that source in your spirit told you that we are all related, that we are part of the earth, that together we complete the hoop, the sacred hoop. We knew this when we came here. There are no words, there are no books, there are no ideologies that are more important than that. So we can't get caught up in this construct, because that's what it is. Do you not find it funny that all of a sudden we have angst against so many different religions, that we are fighting over religion, and we are fighting over land, and we are fighting over ideologies of governments and systems of government, and we are fighting over races and colors and every aspect of our being. So we have to look at this and say, wait a minute, how are we participating in this right now? Are we taking up this illusion, this construct, and using it as a shield, as an argument, as a ideology, or are we stepping back and stepping into our natural place, into the place where we came from, and we exist now, and we will exist after we leave here? That one part of us that is connected to every living thing, great, small, good, bad, all of this is where we need to be consciously and deciding where we stand in this time. Okay, and now I want to read this out. This is a part of an essay that I wrote. It's the bottom part of it. But I think it's apropos to what I want to get across today.
Sis?
Yeah, I think we lost her.
Patty, where'd you go, hon?
Making me.
We lost you. Okay, Patty, you're
I
not...
I dropped off the log.
Can't hear you, Patty.
All okay. Right, I'm back, so how's
well,
everybody?
We got... Hold on, we got interference here. Patty's trying to... Patty,
mind and spirit.
Patty, you're lost. We couldn't hear nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
You did hear the... Okay.
We didn't hear anything. No.
Okay, I'll begin.
Read something.
Okay, I'm going to read something. Okay. Okay, we ready?
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, guys. Yet mankind... Okay, mankind in his rush to become more than any other species has forgotten where he's come from. There is no understanding of the true meaning of life. There is no edification, no affirmation of one's right to exist outside the perimeters of society, no worth outside of an illusionary quest for monetary power, and the weakness of mind and spirit that come with it. The connection to the truth of who we are lost between the asphalt and concrete of the false paradigm created by civilization in order to move beyond the laws of nature and creator, to create for itself the laws of man. So long has man striven for dominance over creation that he has forgotten how to be free. He has forgotten how to love, and he has forgotten his connection to all life, bringing instead of enlightenment and achievement a sense of profound loss, of incompleteness and confusion, living in fear of life, ignorant of the understanding and bereft of meaning. We are not apart from life, we are a part of life. And only through our understanding and acceptance of this can we find our way back to true health, happiness, and creator. We must live to touch the earth, to walk among our relations, to hear their voices, to join and take our place within the hoop. Then and only then will we know peace. Only then will we truly become alive. There, I'm done.
Wow.
I just wanted to say that.
Amazing.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Amazing. Beautiful. Thank you so much.
I hate this part of the show, but, you know, I think we've had something really amazing occur here today. You know, I hope everybody listening right now reaches their arms out in the air and sends one of those magical group hugs to everybody who is involved in listening in today, because we've all spent several hours together. We've all spent a portion of our life together talking through things and, you know, feeling passionate. And, you know, you can feel the love coming from the hearts of those who talk in the chat and those who talk on this show. That's what the Knights of the Round Table was all about, was we bring each other together, and this table continues to grow with other wonderful, brilliant minds and souls and other pieces of the puzzle. I'm always amazed by how these shows play out. Reach out there and give each other that group hug, because today we've been down the road. Tomorrow we'll be down another road. But the key is we're going to do it together. And we're going to do it knowing that we're strong. And we'll be able to keep that darkness at bay with the light that we shine from our hearts. That's what my God told me. So with that said, folks, anybody else got any last words you want to eke in there?
I love you all.
There's a love there.
You know, she says, I love all people. I do. I love people with all my heart. And that love comes from a much higher power than I've ever been able to experience in my life. I do stand against an ideology of hate. I stand against an ideology that promotes absolute destruction of the human being and our every one of our liberties, our freedoms, which Islam does. And that's all I'm going to say about that today. That really kind of set me off a little bit, Ted, what you said. I apologize if I got mad, but I've studied it and studied it and studied it, and I understand how it's being used right now to destroy Western culture. And if you ever think, and anybody out there ever thinks, that compatibility of Sharia law in our society is a possibility, I really urge you to go do your research.
There's,
because it is a destructive mechanism.
There's two loves on the round table. Two loves so far. Do I have three?
I love you guys.
I love all you guys. I said that, you know, even we have our differences. We have our differences of opinions. That doesn't mean that I don't love you. I have that love. It's okay. And yeah, we get fiery sometimes. I'm happy to hear you apologize, really. I've been there myself.
There's three loves.
Well, I get triggered once in a while. We all get triggered
There's
once
three
in a while.
Loves.
And I got triggered.
I have three loves.
I have a love.
All right. There's four loves. And you got five loves. Five Knights of the Round Table. And it looks like there's 12 people left over there. And people for people. And five or so in one room over there, Chaziz Radio, and everybody sharing love. That's what today's show's all about. So we started off with primitive technology, and we worked our way through a lot of stuff, and I think we got some good things accomplished today. Folks, share this podcast with people. Share everything that you can that is of goodness to one another. And always know that you are a really wonderful creation, a wonderful, wonderful person. You are very, very important to all of us. So with that said, share this message to somebody, anybody, everybody. And share it with a big old smile on your face and your arms open wide to embrace in a hug that's worldwide. So all these people out there, People for People Radio, they can feel you hugging them. I can feel you hugging them. And everybody on this round table, wonderful Knights of the Round Table. This has probably been one of my favorite ones. I'm going to have to put this up on the Auto DJ. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great
old
one.
Woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
realize... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Do you hear that? Do you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call a scene, to put work in for cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid table. So many times we give and rhyme to our quiet hunting able. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm. Indefatigable.
Gable. Between our quest, we seek to confess and impersonate Clark Gable. It's a mystery I've been covered.
I have to push the Pramalot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir's the Turbo. All those who are king, Shazir's the Turbo, and the Knights of the Round Table.